Are you afraid?
No, maybe.
It's the Morning Invasion with Dax and Steve-O on Star 88.
I want to hear it!
Here we go!
The stage is set. The curtain rises. We are ready to begin.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
To be an experiment.
I feel like I need to throw out a disclaimer. I love Jesus, and I'm sorry if I'm not the typical Christian, and I don't know Christian cliches, but I
you
do love Jesus,
to.
And I hope you guys all accept me out there.
Oh my God.
I do have a question, though. Who is Stormy or something?
The
you keep saying,
Stormy.
Love you, Stormy, and Stormy.
Okay. Edge. The Edge.
Okay.
Edge Army.
Star 88. Oh my gosh, I did it again.
You did it again.
Star
88. Stormy.
Okay. I used to ask who Jarmy is or whatever. Remember that? That's so embarrassing.
You went, who's Ed Jarmy? Who's Ed Jarmy?
Ed
Why do you guys
Jarmy?
Keep, why do you guys keep like calling out Ed Jarmy?
Oh, and now I keep hearing Stormy or something. Like, who's this girl? Why is she so popular? I want to know her. Oh my goodness.
Oh, Shannon.
I wonder when everyone's favorite radio show is going to start.
Right now.
Good morning. Good. Yeah. All right.
We're live. Oh, whoa.
It's just the two of us today, guys, so don't worry.
Yeah.
If you're just as exhausted as I was.
I slept for 5 hours yesterday.
I crashed so hard.
Yeah, if you didn't hear yesterday's show.
It was an 11.
That was Shannon.
The whole show.
And she decided she's already hyper to begin with.
Yeah.
And she decides it's a good idea to get espresso shots. As she would say, espresso.
Yeah, she got some of the espresso.
She is so fun. But
dude,
man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Small doses. 4 hours at a time.
Gosh.
She's like a 4-hour energy drink.
She is. See, I did. I went home and I slept for 5 hours.
I seriously did the same thing.
And this is what's weird. I didn't go to the gym at 11:30 like
man.
I usually do. And so I woke up. It was 5:45.
Gosh.
And I cooked a plate of pasta. And my wife texts me and said, "Are you ready to go to the gym at 6:30? And it was about 6:10 at this point. And I said, "Yes."
Oh, man.
And everything in me said no. I still don't know why I said yes.
That's awesome. But you
and
went.
We went to the gym last night. I came so close to puking because I had just eaten that pasta.
Yeah.
And it was one of the worst workouts I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And
I'm not looking forward to today, man.
I almost quit. This was the first time I almost quit during the workout,
man.
And just walked away and just like hid in the bathroom or something.
I did that this week, but it was because I split my hand and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did because today's open. They announced the open and it's pull-ups.
Did you get your gloves yet?
No!
You better get your gloves.
I should have ordered them. I haven't even ordered them.
You better do that life hack.
$25, man.
Do that life hack.
Yeah.
You need to make them.
Yeah, I should.
I bet you one of the coaches there will let you borrow theirs, I bet.
Yeah.
Because there was somebody there, this was, I don't know, last year sometime, somebody that I'd never talked to at the gym
just was like, "Here, bro.
Yeah, try these out." I was like, "Oh,
yeah.
Cool."
Dylan let me use grips this week. I still had to stop because it's still like through the grips. They weren't the nice leather ones. They were just like, yeah. Yeah, pray for us, guys. Got the open today. You going to do the open with me? Might as well since we're going to do it
Leslie
at the class.
Leslie said we're doing the open today. So I guess I'm doing the open today. Might as well do the open.
It's happening, man.
Might as well. Good morning, Starmy. How are you? That's your name out there.
Yes.
We got a huge show today. We have slow motion theater. People love that. We have to call my daughter for her birthday.
Boom. That's just, you said that this morning. You're like, "It's Jaden's birthday. We're going to call her." And I'm like, "Didn't we just call her?"
Call my wife. I don't want to talk to my daughter yet, but we need to call my wife to see if she'll talk to us about this Jonathan Jackson guy, because
gosh, you
I did this for my wife and I totally forgot to even tell
during
her
the gym time
that we were interviewing this guy, and it's her favorite show on television. That's why I booked the interview.
What's his name?
Jonathan Jackson. He stars in Nashville on CMT. It's a huge show. People love this show. Pick up. Come on. She just texted me.
He's from General Hospital?
Yeah, that's he was Lucky Spencer on General Hospital. He won 5 daytime Emmys. Leslie, pick up.
Okay.
She's not going to pick up.
Her call has been forwarded.
She forwarded me. Come on. Wow. This is important. I need...
Live line's already blowing up, man. Good morning, everybody. So far, people are just chiming in because they already miss Shannon. Wow.
Okay.
Guys loved yesterday's show. Shannon was awesome. Miss her. Somebody says she needs to be on more often.
You know, it's today's show. You're going to get a glimpse of what it was like for Tao and I when you were gone. Because you have high energy compared to Tao and I. And then when you were gone, it was such a slow-paced, low energy. And I feel like having Shannon on was a bad idea.
There was one person who chimed in yesterday and said, I got to tell you, bro, not a fan. And I said, you're alone. you're alone. You are all alone.
She's one of those where you either love her like crazy or just can't stand it because she's so over the top.
But I expected it from this person. I expected them to not. It was like, yeah, that makes sense from you.
Yeah.
You're alone.
That's what we would always get. Yeah.
The live line blew up, man. It's crazy. So, yeah. Somebody just chimed and said, I heard yesterday's show last night podcasting. I was rolling. Can we please keep her? Hashtag good morning, guys. Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah, everybody is saying that we need to hire her for our third.
Yeah. They got rid of our billboard.
Yeah. I told Steve-O this morning, I think they're firing us because they took down our billboard.
Can't even afford to keep the billboard. You think we're getting a third? No. unless they wanted to revamp since we're getting a third.
Oh, well.
that's a lie. No, guys, that's a lie. I'm sorry. I just gave you false hope. I'm sorry, Starmie. I didn't mean to do that. I love you.
Yeah.
Believe me. We're not getting
the last thing we heard was the billboard's going to stay up all year long. And then now they're taking them down.
See, this week I heard that they were transitioning to Easter.
That makes sense.
Sure enough, it's Easter.
That makes sense because it's so huge.
It's like, guys, Easter campaign starting. And I was like, nice. I didn't realize they meant like, guys, we're removing your billboard and stabbing you through the heart.
Now we have to wait and see if they'll actually put them back up after Easter.
Well, we need a different photo. Let's be real.
That's true. We do.
We need a better one. You've lost like 80 pounds, man.
I have not lost 80 pounds. I have gained weight.
Whatever.
I am bigger. When I watch UFC, and these heavyweights, Mark Hunt, how much do you think he weighs?
310.
No way.
No, 285.
265.
265? Really, Mark Hunt?
I weigh 240 pounds.
Nice, dude.
You're telling me that Mark Hunt is that much bigger than me? Are you kidding me?
Dang, dude.
I don't know. My mind is having a hard time processing my weight because I'm only 5'10". I feel like I'm a fat guy.
No, stop
I really
it.
Do.
You're you know, so dumb.
Last time I got on a stinking scale and I'm 240 pounds.
You're tall, man.
I am tall. I'm 5'9 with my shoes off. Okay? I say 5'10 with my shoes
you on. Do, man. You say 5'10 because I'm like, I'm 5'10. Yeah. What's funny to me is when you're degrading yourself, you're like, I'm only 5'9. But when you're trying to be taller than me yesterday, you were like 5'10 and a half.
I did not say that. I'm 5'10 with my shoes on, okay?
those soles are not an inch.
Well, I don't know about these ones, but anyway.
You love those shoes.
They're great.
They are.
I had a couple friends who used to wear these shoes.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. All of the Morning Invasion has been in those shoes.
They're hand-me-downs. That's how I roll, man.
That's good.
My wife said, I'm in the shower. Call me in 30.
Oh, gosh, we don't have time.
So, yeah, coming up at 7:10, Jonathan Jackson, he is in Nashville. This is the show on CMT. I've never watched an episode except for every now and then I'll come in and my wife will be watching the show. And it's a country music show. So,
oh yeah,
they perform on the show.
Yeah, no, I've seen it a bunch because I had this roommate. Her name was Tao, and she watched it all the time.
Yeah, Tao did love that show.
He loved that show. And so, seriously, he was always talking to me about Nashville. And so, I saw a few episodes. I'd be in the background. I refuse to get sucked into this. I'm not going to. No, I'm sitting at the table. I'm eating food. I'm not even looking at the TV.
So, Starmie, let us know if you watch the show or if you know anybody that watches the show. This is Jonathan Jackson. He stars as Avery Barkley. Just when this is him.
That's a dude?
Yeah.
To up and get you off my mind. Just when I finally got a prayer.
And he's talking about Nashville, but he's also talking about his new band.
Yeah, they're playing shows, actually. They're doing Nashville concerts. Like, the cast of Nashville is touring the UK.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, from what I've seen of the show, that's what the music is the big part of this series. But I want to get my wife on the phone so we can at least get some info because both of us don't watch the show.
Yeah.
And I booked this for my wife and I forgot to tell her we were even talking to Avery.
Yeah, and you did this during my favorite hour of the week.
I know. Well, I didn't know they'd book it during the 7 o'clock hour.
Gosh!
It can be a quick interview. It doesn't have to be a 10-minute interview.
No, I agree. Today will not be.
So, 7:10, let us know if you will watch the show. Give us some questions.
Apparently, Leslie's show is sick because the Starmie member said that Nashville blows chunks.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's not, nobody so far watches Nashville. Okay.
If you don't know by now, you better listen good.
Got a pretty good voice. And I think he's the main guy in the show.
Somebody said it's Cowboy Glee.
It's Cowboy Glee. That's a good call.
Somebody else said, I don't even like country music, but I love Nashville.
Wow.
The city? Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
They stole our friend.
Yeah.
In fact, that's all I want to talk to him about. I'm not even kidding. I'm just going to be grumpy the whole time. Just be like, yeah? You love it there? Cool. One of our best friends left us and moved back there.
We hate you.
Thanks for stealing our friend. That's what we should do. What we need to do is call Teo right now.
Oh, yeah. He watches this show. Good call.
Oh, please
he's probably on his way to work.
Please don't be at work yet. Please don't be at work.
Yeah, he's the son of Seventh-day Adventist parents. He was raised as a non-denominational Christian. He's always been vocal about his faith. He chose not to drink or do drugs as a teen. Let's see. Jackson.
I accidentally answered the phone.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah.
Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I saw freaking Logan last night, and that is going to the Academy.
Sure. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is, how did nobody ever explain to me how Chucky came back after Jean Grey killed him?
Nope. Never did.
Right.
Never had to. He was in like an end credit scene during one of the Wolverine movies, and it was like, he's here.
Yeah. So how does, doesn't that mean Scott Summers and Jean Grey had to get it on before she first seen it, killed him for Nathan or for Cable to come back?
If they're going to do it the right way, yes. Well, actually, technically, no, because if they do it the right way, Nathan Summers, also known as Cable, is the son of Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor, not to be confused with Jean Grey. Madeline Pryor being the clone of Jean Grey. Therefore, technically...
Oh, man, I got suckered into it.
Yeah, sorry. All right. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, buddy. Glad you liked Logan.
I'm a nerd!
Call Teo. Teo, Nashville. Jackson was also a proponent of abstinence from premarital sex.
Nice.
He's often thanked God during his award acceptance speeches. He's worked on General Hospital.
Colin Teo.
He and his family held
a
home church.
At work.
I don't think so. I don't think he gets there until 8.
Teo, better answer. Or we're going to leave a voicemail.
He's probably taking a cold shower right now.
He probably is.
Your call has been forwarded.
I'm just going
to
let everyone know his phone number.
615-549. Shoot him a text. See if he'll call us. During an interview with Entertainment Weekly in 1999, he said, I won't get involved with a movie that's a direct slap in the face of God. I'm an actor, so I have to play people who believe differently than me. I would be willing to play a character that was completely unbelieving and anti-God, just as long as that wasn't the message of the whole movie.
I like that. That makes sense. So we should definitely, we'll talk to him about his faith. We'll talk to him about why he lives in the stupid city that stole our friend.
Yeah.
Why the show is just mocking us all the time with its stupid name.
He seems like a good dude. So we'll talk to Jonathan Jackson from
those
Nashville.
Those are all my questions.
He plays Avery Barkley on Nashville CMT 710. After that, we'll talk fitness and health. Of course, we always ask for your questions if you guys are wanting help with getting back in the gym or just trying to stay healthy. We know people. We do. And they come in every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good time with that. What else we got on the show this morning? Sam Swan will be in to do the show with
us. We got a letter.
Yeah, what is
and dude,
we got an actual letter. Somebody sent us a letter.
Yeah, we got a real actual letter.
Is it somebody that works here?
No, dude, it was from Berlin. Like, we
oh my gosh.
We got a real, like, for real, we got a letter. So, Starmie, right on you guys, because we get emails, we get people texting in on our text line, 585-LIVE. And we actually got letters now. So they sent us an actual in-the-mail letter, which is great because it's perfect for Friday because it's about church.
Good.
And some good questions. We'll have Sam Swan answer this actual letter.
I was thrown off
this morning. I was like, what is this weird contraption?
Yeah, when you said there was a letter in here, my first thought was, oh my gosh, if anybody's going to write a letter, it's because they want to destroy us. They want to tear us down into little pieces. They're mad about something. We did something to offend them. That's the only reason why you get a letter.
The funny thing is I actually thought that too. I immediately thought that. I was like, oh no, because it was over my keyboard. Yeah. So I was like, somebody wants me to read this. And it didn't even say like, dear, it was like, Dex and Steve-O.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, they didn't put dear. Dearest. Greetings. Nothing.
We'll talk about the top reasons you're not going to see Kong Skull Island.
What?
Hey.
You know, the funny thing is, it opened today. I will not be going to see it, but I'm going to the movies tonight.
What? Are you going to go see John Wick?
I am.
Oh, wow.
I'm finally seeing it, guys.
Man, it's been out for a month.
I know. Everybody was shocked. And by everybody, I mean the one person I'm going in the movies with. He was like, well, you've obviously seen it, right? And I'm like, no, dude.
Wow.
It's like, let's go see that.
Who are you going to the movies with?
Joey.
Oh.
Joey Belleville.
I'm kind of jelly right now.
I'm sorry, man.
We
haven't had a date in a while.
What time are you guys going?
I mean, I don't want to tell you because I don't want you to just show up.
I'll ask Chrissy.
Yeah.
I might just sneak in. Wouldn't it be funny if I just showed up?
One of those 21 and over theaters, so I don't know if you can.
Oh.
That's a hint.
Gotcha.
That's a hint where we're going.
What else we got on the show this morning? Five reasons why having a dog is good for your health.
Oh, I will throw all of these out the window. My dog's going to give me a heart attack. I hate him.
Oh, man.
He is the worst. He eats everything.
Yeah, it's that type of breed you got.
Apparently, he's obnoxious. And it's like, oh, but he's a puppy. But he's not a puppy anymore. He's almost two.
Why don't you spray him in the face with...
what is wrong with you? No.
With water.
No.
That
he chews stuff. The problem is we buy him, we're like, oh, we're going to get him a nice little bed. And like, while we're sleeping, he'll just like, I'm going to eat you. What is wrong with you? It's your bed.
It's the breed.
Ugh.
It's the breed you got. There's some dogs that just do that.
He's the worst.
I love Vader. He's a good dog.
Yeah, everybody loves Rocket. Everyone loves him. And the funny thing is, he loves me. We're trying to watch a movie last night. We got Moana, which, dude, that movie's so good.
I haven't seen that.
We're watching the movie, and he just keeps coming up and putting his bone on my lap because he wants me to play with him. And I'm like, I want to play with you. I want to watch a movie.
Wow.
But he's like constantly
spend some time with him.
Hey, buddy, play with me.
Take him for a walk.
Ugh. Bleh.
Poor Rocket.
Whatever.
Him and Vader need to have a play date.
So spoiled. So spoiled.
Yeah, my wife, I caught her the other day. We buy bottled water.
Oh.
I caught her dumping bottled water into the doggy bowl.
Okay.
And I go, what are you doing? And she said, it's the leftover water that nobody drank.
You know what the funny thing is? Luke does that for Rocket. And Chrissy commended him yesterday. I'm glad you're not wasting that. That's good. That's good
water. How about get one of the kids and say, this is your water bottle. Drink it.
Drink it, bro.
Yeah, because you're the one that opened it and left it on the counter and didn't drink it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Drives me crazy.
Gosh.
So natural spring water, is that what Vader needs? You want me to buy a case of that for him when I go to Costco next? Okay.
Oh, my gosh. We're talking about this? As we're talking, I get a text from Chrissy. I'm not calling you my wife anymore. You're just Chrissy on the air. Because that's the dog on my side of the bed.
Ah.
That's what happens. I leave. This dog is so spoiled. My gosh, I don't like you.
Man.
He knows I'm talking about him. His ears are all perked up. It's because he's on my side of the bed.
Yeah. My wife, she doesn't like me. I know she doesn't. Because she loves Vader, our dog, so much. And I won't allow Vader to sleep with us at night. Because he's a pug and he snores.
Dude.
It's a bad snore. And so he sleeps with Jaden, but she'll always, you know, she'll be holding Vader, you know, before bed and go, I would let you sleep with me, but your daddy hates you.
Oh my gosh.
That's fine. You can tell Vader that I hate him. Get out of here, dog. I want to sleep. I need a good night's sleep. I don't want some dog sleeping in my bed snoring. Ugh.
Matt's already at work.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
I feel like he could take some time out to call us.
Yeah.
Big show today. 585 Live, if you want to chime in. That's our live line. 585-5483. Terry Crews talks positivity, exercise, and fasting.
Oh.
We'll play that in the 7 o'clock hour.
We're also already getting fitness questions for the girls, so. Yes.
Headlines when we come back, and we'll check traffic. We'll be right back.
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, says he'll provide technology companies with access to CIA hacking tools that will allow them to fix software vulnerabilities.
The Houston Texans trade quarterback Brock Osweiler to Cleveland. The Chicago Bears sign Mike Glennon as their new quarterback. He was with Tampa.
President Trump has offered the job of ambassador to Russia to John Huntsman.
Hawaii is the first state to sue the Trump administration over its revised executive order on immigration.
The Department of Homeland Security says there have been fewer illegal crossings of the southern border in the week since Trump took office.
Technology being tested in D.C. The delivery service Postmate is using six-wheeled robots that are about knee-high to get takeout food to customers. A human is tagging along for now, but eventually the robots will be out there on their own.
Scott Pruitt, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, says he does not agree that carbon dioxide is the main driver of climate change.
Radio Shack's announcement, it's filing for bankruptcy for the second time in less than 2 years.
The chain is facing a challenging retail environment, and a partnership with wireless provider Sprint has not worked out.
More Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week, but claims still low enough to suggest most workers enjoying job security. There was a 20,000 uptick to a seasonally adjusted 243,000.
Good morning.
Oh, hi.
Dex and Steve-O.
That's us.
On a Friday, March 10th. The day my daughter Jaden was born, 636.
High today of 76 degrees. Traffic! No accidents to report at this time. However, there's some major road work happening. Lomas Boulevard West at 2nd Street. The two right lanes are closed, as well as some road work Central Avenue East between 2nd and Locust. So you can expect delays in that entire area. Also, regular construction happening Indian School between Louisiana and America's Parkway. Let's look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
Coming up here at 710, Jonathan Jackson. He stars as Avery Barkley on Nashville, CMT.
Teo's show. He's got some questions.
Good.
He's got one, really. One really good one.
Yeah, I guess in the show, I don't
I
know
feel
if
like
he's
I'm
married
not ask it.
to Hayden Panettiere. Is that her name?
Panettiere.
But yeah, I don't know if you should ask that question.
Yeah, because he's married in real life. So I guess asking him if she's a good kisser.
Well.
Teo really wants to know, though. I just want to know why he lives in a stupid city. Why is your city stupid?
It's not a stupid city. I hear it's beautiful there.
When he's not working, he actually lives in Nashville. So him and his wife, their three kids, they live there. It's great. What a stupid city.
So stupid.
Can I just be aggro the whole interview?
You should. You won't.
I won't.
You won't.
I really won't. I don't like being disrespectful. I want to for the sake of the Starmie and hilarity just and all of everybody's
anger. You know what? Then I will.
For why?
I'll be that guy.
You're going to be that guy?
I'll be that
guy. Don't be that guy.
I'll be that guy. I'll do it for all the Teo fans out there.
We're a three-piece, and we lost. You can't have a three-piece suit without one of the pieces.
It's true.
We lost our pants.
We lost our pants. We sure did. You can't have a Big Mac without special sauce.
Right.
You just can't. And we lost our special sauce.
I'll tell you what, though. I love the Starmie. You know, you guys, our listening audience really fills the show. And then we have some really fun guests.
We do.
Shannon was great yesterday. We're going to have our girl Brittany Flowers in next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be amazing.
She's back in town for a little bit.
Of course, Amy and Beck are going to be joining us at 7 o'clock and Sam Swan, 8 o'clock. We don't need him.
I just spit everything. Yeah.
All right. New survey asked people if they'd be willing to trade in their lives now to live in a virtual reality world, and 17% of humans said yes!
I'm down. I'm part of that 17. I'm down.
I don't even... Okay.
Why wouldn't you?
Here are the top five reasons why. 46% of them would love to visit places like Mars, Gotham City, or Mordor.
How cool would that be?
46% want to live in virtual reality because impossible things are possible.
Well.
39% want to make an avatar of themselves that's more attractive.
I can understand that. My avatar would have hair.
Okay. 9% would want their avatar to be a creature that's not human. 33% said they just would want to meet fictional characters.
Hmm.
And 22% say they would do it to get away from today's real-world politics.
See, I don't think it has anything to do. I mean, some of it is politics, but I think most of it is just to get away from life.
That's some crazy escapism right there, man.
People just want to get away from the day-to-day grind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you see a lot of people getting stuck watching shows on Netflix for hours and hours a day. They just want to go and they want to zone out and not think about all the crap in their lives.
Yeah, that's true.
So I get it. I understand why people would want to get sucked into another world if it was virtual reality, which I still have not. I've not experienced it yet. I want to experience this.
I haven't really experienced it to a great degree, but I don't know. Starmie member has a question. They want to know. They are very curious. They and possibly confused. People still say aggro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
No, we literally just said aggro. We get all aggro.
I didn't even hear you say that.
I think I said it.
Did I say that?
Maybe you said it. One of us said it.
So you're saying you're not one of the 17% that would
no,
would
dude.
Want this?
Why would you want to live in a fantasy realm?
It'd be cool.
Like actually live. Did you ever read Ready Player One?
No, but you've told me about that.
It's a book that's being turned into a film right now that's like a love letter to the 80s. It's fantastic, but essentially like the real world is just so dreadful that humanity exists within this construct, like almost like the Matrix. It's just really, ugh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that. I don't know. It just seems fake. I hate fake. Give me real.
You know what?
I don't want fake.
Put me in a tube with water, jelly, or whatever was in there in the Matrix. Hook some cord to the back of my neck.
No way.
I could be passed out the rest of my life, and then I'm just in the Matrix. I'm in the world that doesn't exist.
No, I don't believe you. That is so stupid.
I'm fine with that.
No. In a place, here's the thing. God created us with this inerrant, like according to the book Ecclesiastes, he's written eternity in our hearts, right? Like we have this desire within us that is greater than us. And I just feel like if you existed within some false, at some point something would have to give. Because you know it's not real. You know it's not real. It's fake. And we don't want fake. People are searching for truth.
You saying I couldn't love the Lord in my virtual reality experience?
No.
Yes, I could.
Whatever.
I could. I could love God even more.
Too busy in Mordor.
Dude, I'd be killing creatures. I'd be jumping off buildings. I'd be flying.
No way.
I'd be combing my hair.
I would not want to live within the Matrix construct.
It'd be beautiful.
Speaking of movies, new in theaters today, Kong Skull Island.
Is this going to be the greatest movie or what?
Oh! You can't show the trailer.
Ah, you're so scary, Kong. He is. He's so big.
That movie looks fantastic.
It's so unrealistic, though. Come on.
We're going to go see that because yesterday I made a comment about wanting to see Kong, and Chrissy said, I'll probably just see it on TV. And I said, what? No, it's Kong.
It's Kong.
Like, that's why movie theaters are still in existence.
This is a fun movie.
For big movies like that.
It's a fun movie.
Oh, did you see the latest Godzilla?
Yeah.
I loved it.
This is going to be a good one in 3D.
This is the dudes that did Godzilla.
Well, then I'm in.
Oh, man.
I'm watching this one in 3D. Leslie, we're going to the movies tonight.
Now, here's the thing. It stars Tom Hiddleston, Sam Jackson, Brie Larson, John Goodman, John C. Reilly. But... don't call it a King Kong remake. They're saying a completely new original story that redefines the myth of Kong.
Wow.
But does it? When you watch the trailer, it's on Skull Island. There's the pretty girl that he's going to become enamored with. There's the crazy giant creatures he's got to fight.
Yeah.
Sure sounds like a King Kong movie.
Is Kong really 100 feet tall in the movie?
Yeah.
Is that how tall he is, 100 feet tall?
The Kong in this film is 100 feet tall and still growing. So check this out. By the time they do the sequel, you know, Godzilla versus Kong, which, no, that's real, in 2020, he's probably going to be a lot bigger than what we see here because he's still like a baby.
So where does he hide? Does he go underground? I don't get it. How big is this island?
I mean, it's a pretty huge island. 100 feet isn't really that tall.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's tall, but it's not like... what do you mean, where does he hide? 100 feet?
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, if you're flying a plane and you're flying over this island, I'm pretty sure this 100
foot tall... it's Skull Island. You don't just fly over Skull Island.
Oh, really? Pterodactyl's going to come out and kill you? What? You just can't fly over? No fly zone? No,
I mean, come on. First of all, it takes place in the 70s at the end of the Vietnam War.
I feel like you'd be able to see Kong wherever you went on the island.
No. Well, yeah, maybe on the... Oh, wait.
He's huge.
100 feet, isn't that huge?
Where does he sleep?
Okay. In Albuquerque right now, if you looked southeast, could you see, like, the big old hotel from here? What is that? The Albuquerque Hotel? Whatever the tall hotel is down there? Could you see it from here?
No, because of the curvature of the earth.
Okay, you're such an idiot. I'm willing to bet that building is like the size of Kong.
I don't know, man. I don't
think
so.
We're on an island.
No, I bet you.
An Albuquerque
Kong is
island.
Definitely taller than that. They make him look like he's a skyscraper.
Oh, my gosh.
What? You know what? Watch the trailer. Let's watch the trailer.
No, we're not watching the trailer. So
there's a helicopter. Okay, so watch the helicopters.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be... pretty high up in the sky, and there's Kong's head. And look at the size of that ox. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's because it's Skull Island. Wait, that's the dude from 24 Legacy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. He's amazing.
Yeah. See, for, if you were flying helicopters like they were, you'd be able to see Kong wherever you're at. Yeah. Look at this thing.
Is that a monkey?
No, man, that's Kong.
Umbers, Umbers, John Goodman.
Look at how big.
Wash your mouth out.
He is. Yeah. He's huge.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just saying. Somebody says you can't see a monster movie on TV. You lose so much.
How many feet is one story? Like a one story building. How many feet is that?
10.
No way. 10 feet is the size of a basketball hoop.
That's, okay.
That's not one story.
12. I don't know.
I'm going to do some research on this.
Yeah, you could literally Google it real quick. Somebody said Godzilla wins this one, man.
What? No. I don't know.
Somebody else said the curvature of the earth thing is true, man. You just... Somebody just chimed in and said, according to that, if it's 100 feet, that's an eight-story building. Eight-story building eight is story not that building. Tall. That's eight floors, bro.
It's pretty. Oh, yeah.
That's not that huge.
I'm going to have to research that.
Oh, gosh! We just did!
I don't know if that's true.
By the way, my wife's only interested in seeing it for Tom Hiddleston. Therefore, she doesn't care about the giant monkey. Therefore, she doesn't need to see it on the big screen. Now, 100 feet tall is about a 10-story building, according to somebody else.
10-story building is... That's a big building.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. It's going to be a good film. I'm down.
How tall is the Hyatt? Hyatt's, is it more than 10 stories?
Probably 50 feet.
Okay, you have to get out of my life forever. You're making me dumber.
Maybe 60.
Who wins that fight, Godzilla or King Kong?
Oh, King Kong.
We haven't seen King Kong yet. It's because he's got opposable thumbs, huh? Because he's a monkey.
He's a monkey.
He can use his hands and feet. Godzilla's got crazy electro breath, though. He's got the electronic breath. Did you see that movie?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Who's going to win?
I don't know. I have to watch Kong first.
By the way, somebody just chimed in and said, I can't believe I'm commenting on this, but unlike a skyscraper, Kong moves around. He lays down to sleep.
Yeah, that's my question. Sits, where does he sleep?
He blends in with his surroundings.
Uh-huh, with the tree.
So he could mask himself pretty well on an island. You dumb.
That is not true at all, man. Kong, he is so big in this film. There's no way.
Okay. I can't believe we're really actually having a rational conversation. I'm with the Star Me member who just said that. Because think about this. If there are mountain ranges on that island, Kong is not the
He's
size
just gonna
of the
hide
sandias.
Behind a mountain?
Yeah, he could just lay down in front of the sandias. You can't see him on the other side. Tell me I'm wrong.
Whatever.
Look at me in
you're
the
right.
eye and tell
you,
me I'm
you're
wrong.
You're right. I'll give you that.
Thousands of
I'll
feet.
Give you that. So if you were to fly thousands. Over the sandias, you would be able to see him because he'd be above all of the trees.
No, we're talking about a 100-foot monkey.
Yeah.
100 feet. That's thousands of feet.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Some people are saying he's not a monkey. He's an ape.
He's an ape. That's
so.
That's very true.
And as soon as I mentioned what Chrissy said, wives are chiming in now, or just women in general, because now there are multiple people saying, yes, Tom Hiddleston. So at least I'm assuming they're ladies.
Yeah,
because of the Tom Hiddleston remarks.
Those trees have to be redwood trees to be that big to... Because the trees look humongous in this film compared to Kong. So this is the redwood forest.
Okay. Well, there are 10.826 feet in a story before rounding. So
how much?
10.8 feet.
Wow, you were pretty close.
Before rounding. Yeah, didn't I say 10 feet?
You
and
did
you said,
say.
No way.
You did. All right. Okay.
Normal choice is to allow 10 feet for every story. So, yeah. 10 stories. Somebody wants to know why we're spending so much time talking about
no
this movie
idea.
That nobody would care if
no
it did
idea.
Not exist. What? You're out of your mind. I am freaking out for Kong. Am I the only one?
No,
I'm like,
I am.
I called Joey and I'm like, Brodus, dude date, man. We haven't been out in a while. You're my oldest friend, literally. Let's go out. What do you want to see? Kong's coming out. And he's like, John Wick 2.
Mm.
And I'm Keanu guy. And I'm like, okay. But Kong!
The cast in Kong is amazing.
I know. Yeah, have you seen that ape? He was phenomenal in Hamlet. Just to be.
He's very well spoken.
To be. He's phenomenal. Well, He's a great actor. I feel like he gets typecast.
Well, he's more of a method actor.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, oh, guess what? You're playing Kong. He's like, why? Because I'm a 100-foot tall gorilla? Yeah. No one saw that coming.
Yeah.
Discrimination, man.
Stereotype.
I want to be the lead in this movie. Well, the movie's called Kong, so I guess technically he is the lead.
It's going to be a great movie.
Now, here's the question. The deal is a 10-story building is tall, but relatively not that tall. 100 feet is not thousands of feet. Yeah, I know. That's what what? To Steve-O, 100 feet is not thousands of feet.
Who said that?
I don't know, because I was talking about how the Sandias are like thousands of feet tall, and you'd never be able to see Kong. Maybe they understood.
Yeah.
Maybe they
missed. How tall is the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, gosh.
Somebody sent that picture. I thought that's what they were comparing it to.
Eiffel Tower is 984 feet tall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, dumb. Can you see the Eiffel Tower from Paris? You probably can't.
Kong really isn't that big.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not watching this movie.
You're not listening to me.
Nah, this movie is so not
accurate. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is 183 feet tall. He's like half the size of the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, that's
stupid. Not even that big of a monkey.
He really isn't, but they make him look like he should be 1,000 feet tall.
The Empire State Building is 1.25.
Yeah, they messed up in this movie.
It's over 1,000 feet tall.
They make him look like he's 1,000 feet tall.
No, they don't,
yeah, they
dude.
Do. Look at that. Are you kidding me?
He's in the jungle.
Oh my gosh. Look, did you see that? That looked like the Eiffel Tower. They showed Kong and all these helicopters, and he was standing up, and he looked like the Statue of Liberty. Unbelievable. So not accurate. Not watching.
Have you ever been to New York?
Never been.
Exactly. The Statue of Liberty. So we were at the Brooklyn Bridge, just kind of walking around, taking in the city, and like, oh, look at all this beautiful, look at these structures. And then Claire went, there's the Statue of Liberty, and she was like a dot.
Really?
And I was like, that's it? Like, yeah.
I just saw 305
out on
feet.
An island. She's not that impressive.
305 feet?
And she's three times the height
that's
of
three
Kong.
Kongs.
Yeah. So what I'm telling you is he could blend in.
Well,
this
yeah.
has been the longest argument we've ever had over this stupidest
He could
thing.
If he actually was 100 feet in the movie, but he's not. That's my whole point. He's at least 1,000 feet tall in the movie. That's my point.
A hot air balloon is a little less than 100 feet when it's blown up. So there you go. Kong is about the size of a hot air balloon at the Bloom Fiesta.
That's why I'm freaking out over this is because I thought when you said 100 feet, I assumed that 100 feet was really, really tall because they make Kong to look like
he's... Oh my gosh!
Oh.
Amy just scared us.
That is not cool, man.
Well, our guests are here.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Chip. You guys need to go ahead and move on with the topic.
Thanks, Steven. Thank you, Steven. You can't do a fake voice. You're terrible at this.
What do you think about this Kong thing?
I don't care anymore.
Yes, you do.
I've never been into it because I know the ending. I just, you know, like, oh, they're all in the same.
With the monkey
sadly.
Crying?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's going to
yeah,
be sad.
It goes back, you know, the fish, you know, the big giant lizard crawls back into the water, and you're like, oh, and then they tease you with, like, but his son is still alive, or
right.
he's coming back to life. More instructions.
Come on, man. You spoil that for everybody.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
I'm sorry I did. My bad, guys. I'm sorry.
Boom.
Good,
there you
good.
Go.
Yep. All right. Well, that was it.
That's good. Okay.
All right. Well, we'd love to see you.
Love you. Love
okay.
you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Wasn't he in the mountains? Is he back?
I don't know.
He was like hunting wildlife with Andy Mineo. I was like, why are you with rap artists and guns?
Ugh.
I should have asked him. We have to take a break.
Yeah, we do. We have to take a break.
My point is proven. I am right.
I can't believe we just spent 10 minutes.
We are like blocks away from the Bloom Fiesta.
This is your fault, Steve.
And you can never see them from the ground.
This is your fault. We're going to talk fitness and health. We have coaches, I'm not sure, from Bear Canyon CrossFit joining us.
I mean.
We also have Jonathan Jackson, who plays Avery Barkley on Nashville, who'll be joining us at 7:10.
I'm going to ask him why he stole our friend.
We'll be right back.
Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Here they come!
Good morning, Starmy. Welcome to the show, everybody. Will you answer that phone, Steve-O?
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, welcome to the crime-free Upper West Side of New York City. How are you?
Oh, my gosh, Carl. Good morning.
Phenomenal.
We've got snow again.
No way.
Went from summer to winter again. You know, this kind of like really drastic shifts are worse than having winter just at all at one time.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, you're complaining that you live in Manhattan, so we're not friends because you live in my favorite city in the world. So
for me to even complain about anything in Manhattan would just be, you know, it'd be terrible in your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, I see your point.
Yeah.
But still, it's not groovy.
Yeah. It's 76.
You're looking up at the you know, just to walk down the sidewalk, and you're like, why is the sky hurting my eyes?
Yeah. Yeah. It is 76 degrees in Albuquerque, so I just want you to
beautiful
know that
here
it's,
today.
Now, it's gorgeous.
Is it dry? Is it like low humidity?
Yeah, low. We're in the desert, so yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, now that would bother me, too, and that would happen every day.
Oh, Carl.
Because I'm a hothouse flower, and I need humidity, or else I would turn into something, I don't know, just horrible. Let me get you the man of the hour, Jonathan Jackson.
We'll take it.
All right.
He plays Avery Barkley on Nashville, CMT.
Okay, here they are, in Albuquerque.
What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Great. Well, first off, we're a little upset with you.
Yeah, we're very, very upset with you, Jonathan. I got to be really honest. We used to have a third co-host. We were a three-piece. It was the greatest.
Yeah.
One of our best friends in the world.
Mm-hmm,
and about a month ago, he took a job in Nashville and left us because he's a musician and did the morning show, and his band got back together, and now he's in Nashville. And so even the mention of the word Nashville
makes we're going to take it out on you, Jonathan.
And he was my roommate for a while. He loves the show Nashville, like just everything about it. And so we just, man, we hate everything about this right now.
Yep.
So.
And everything about you.
I'm so sorry. It's a great way to kick it off.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, as Christians,
as
Christians, we have to forgive, you know, and so we're trying really hard, and God's like working on our hearts. But the truth is, man, I don't know. I don't know. This one hurt. Hurt. So
yeah, get it.
Yeah. So okay, let me start it off. Let's forget everything we just said right there. We're just a joke.
What? That's the first impression. It's
okay.
Too late. You
all
dumb.
Right. So my wife absolutely loves Nashville. Okay. So this is what happened to me the other day. My son, who's 12 years old, he comes up to me and goes, "Dad, Mom's crying upstairs."
Oh no.
And I was like, "What? What do you mean?" And so I run upstairs, and my wife is no joke. Curled up in a ball. She's going to kill me. She's curled up in a ball, and she's just crying her eyes out. And I thought that maybe like a family member died. No, she was watching Nashville. She was watching you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it makes her feel any better, that was pretty much what most of us were like on the set, filming all of that. It was really intense. So
yeah.
Man.
We get it. Yeah.
It's funny because Steve-O and I have no idea what we're even talking about because we don't watch the show, but our wives do.
Yeah. Our wives do. I love that show.
What happened? Can you tell us what you know?
Spoiler alert.
Just what happened? What was so sad?
Well, I'm assuming what you're referring to would be when Raina James died on the show.
Yeah. Yep.
Got in a car wreck and passed away. It was very emotional, and you know, she has the children on the show, the girls, Lennon and Maisie, you know, were just amazing in the scenes, and Chip Esten, who plays Deacon, you know, her husband, and it was a really emotional thing for everybody, because, you know, was not only the character, Raina, but also, you know, we've been working with Connie for about 5 years now, and knowing she was going to be leaving was intense. So.
Man, that is, it's amazing. So Nashville, obviously, is tremendous, and you are not only an actor, but a musician as well. I've been rocking, like, your music and checking out what's going on, and you just released a song.
Yeah, just today, actually. We released a new single called Revolution of the Heart. And the rest of the album's coming out in a few months, but this is the first single off of it, so we're excited about it.
Dude, it's unreal because we were looking at not only musician, actor, doing incredible things, but you do a lot of great work as well. We team up here in Albuquerque a lot with some great organizations because I think there are a lot of people who don't realize that human trafficking is a real thing. But you have teamed up with the Syria Project and Not For Sale. And we are very passionate about that here. Saw that and it was like, how did you get involved?
We got involved quite a few years ago, actually. And I don't exactly know how we met, Ethan Batstone from Not For Sale, but we got looped in somehow from mutual friends and, we did an event for them, where we came and we played some music and we were just so moved and impressed with what they were doing that we wanted to stay involved and just see how we could be a part of things. And it is interesting because it's something that's such a huge issue, human trafficking and really modern day slavery, and yet it's still because it's so such a secret, it's away from the everyday reality, it's easy for it to go under the radar. And so I'm grateful, when I hear people like you guys who are really on top of it and giving a voice to it. It's really a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, people don't realize it.
Well, we were unaware of it until a friend of ours came in and started talking about it. She is involved with the Deliver Fund here in Albuquerque and a few different organizations, actually, but we realize, here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we're not only are we a border state, but you've got, Route 66, that high, I 25 rolling through here, I 40. So two major highways where our state really is one of those hubs for it. And all we had known was from, the movie Taken. This happens in crazy countries.
Yeah, you got to travel.
All of a sudden it's like, wait,
abroad, yeah.
Albuquerque, like there are people that we know that have been taken. What? And
I know.
And
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
It really is. And so if you can shine a light on that and tell people, it was just phenomenal. So I saw that and wanted to immediately at least just talk a little bit about it because reading up about you was like, this dude loves him some Jesus. Mm-hmm. So what's it like for you in the industry? Because obviously, working on Nashville, musician, everything you're doing, and reading everything I have, I mean, you're pretty outspoken about where you stand on certain things. How is that working out? Like, because it seems like it's hit or miss for people, unfortunately, in Hollywood, in that industry. If you mention the name of Jesus, unfortunately, in 2017, there's a stigma. You're labeled many a different things. But what's it been like in your experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I've been working in the industry since I was really young. I think I was like 11 years old when I started on General Hospital. So it's, I've grown up in the business, and it's kind of, there's sort of a paradox because in a personal way, on a personal level with people, I found that when there's mutual respect and a good work ethic and, at least some amount of, humility in, interacting with people, that most of the time everyone's pretty open and cool and don't really have many issues. Now, there is all the things you mentioned, those things exist. But it's interesting when the firestorms kind of start. And I don't exactly know why and when they happen, but they certainly happen, I think, more in the political sphere. I mean, you know, for instance, a few years ago, you know, I thanked Christ on a award show, and you know, there was a lot of really encouraging messages that we got from people all around the world, and I think that you know, I think it gets a little heated in the political realm, and if there's a sense of sort of you know, trying to preach at people, I think there might be some pushback. But
yeah,
for the most part, you know, for the most part, when you're just working with people day in and day out and having a sense of respect, then it really, I found that there's been a lot of, you know, openness and a lot of goodness for the most part. So it's a little bit of a paradox because the tension is certainly there.
Yeah.
And it does exist, but maybe because I've been around it since I was so young that I've been able to navigate around it pretty well.
Dude, it sounds like you got a good handle on it, man, and that's it. I mean, Christ went out into the world, and he just loved people, you know? And so I think that's it. If you work as unto the Lord and do everything well, then it'll shine through, because there's so many labels that come along with saying that you love Jesus, and I'm happy that people like you get to break down that stereotype in the industry you're in. So thank you so much for all you do, man. You've been great.
And your new single, Revolution of the Heart, is out, right? So people can pick that up.
Yeah.
Today.
Absolutely.
Right on.
Yeah, it's out.
Jonathan,
thank you so much, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I thank you for forgiving me for turmoiling.
You know,
we had to take it out on somebody.
70 times 7. Yeah. We just got to keep going with the forgiveness, right, man. Even though you're on a show that made a lot of ladies cry this week, it just, you know, just, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Awesome.
All right.
All right. See you,
man.
Jonathan Jackson, he stars as Avery
so
Barkley.
So glad you booked that interview.
On Nashville.
I
CMT.
Only want to punch myself in the face like three times.
Yeah, that's great. That was for my wife. I booked that one for my wife, and I didn't even get to talk to her about it before the interview.
Okay. Just failed. Well, my phone blew up because people were like, you're talking to Avery?
Oh, I know. This is and one of the biggest shows on television.
Okay.
That's why I booked it as well. I mean, because
I don't know.
It's huge.
Yeah. He seemed very nice considering we begin the interview with, man, we hate you. So talk to us. Why do you love Jesus? Because we hate you.
Yeah.
Not my best interview, guys.
No,
gotta go on
fine.
Record and say
it was fine.
I fumbled a few times. Mostly because I just wanted to talk to the ladies in studio.
Yeah, Amy and Becca are here for Bear Canyon CrossFit.
Amy, get your mic in front of you. You actually have to talk into that.
Oh my God, it's Friday morning.
Wake up. It's 6:30. Gosh.
Oh, is that better? Thanks, Dex.
I love it.
Oh God, I couldn't survive without you.
I'm here for you.
How's
welcome
that
to
sandwich?
The show. Welcome. I only had a bite, and then you took it away from me. Oh,
what did you think of that interview? You guys are fans of Nashville, right?
Is he that boring
I'm
on
fan
the show?
Of Jackson. Okay, I've never watched the show.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
No.
Well, no, that's a lie. When Teo lived with me, like, he is a fan. And I would be subjected. So I'd be, like, eating lunch, and it'd be on my TV, and he'd just be watching. And it is like a soap opera, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you watched it?
At the very beginning.
It was a soap opera
it
then.
It was a soap opera then.
Gosh, the acting.
And then I had kids, and then.
Yeah, life happened.
And then life happened, yeah.
But you didn't stick with it. I mean, come on, it's Nashville.
Yeah.
They stole our friend, whatever. I don't apologize for that interview.
I'm telling you, I've never seen my wife cry like that during a TV show. It was crazy.
So whatever, this is us, bro.
She's
no,
appreciating you sharing that online.
I know.
Wrapped up in a ball.
I'm just waiting for text messages to pour in. Oh, maybe she's not listening.
Somebody just chimed in and said that Jonathan Jackson, if he were a superhero, his name would be Mr. Monotone.
Yeah, right?
Okay, Starmie.
It was still good. Great interview.
Great interview, guys. Well, on Fridays, if you don't know, around this time, we have our coaches from Bear Canyon CrossFit. They come
normally.
In.
Give or take 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah. And we talk fitness. We talk health. If you have questions, we have the live line, 585-LIVE. You can chime in or you can call us, 338-3700. People are already pouring in. questions for you guys this morning.
Yep.
But I know you guys probably wanted to talk about, you mentioned something last week you wanted to talk about, and you have notes. I see a bunch of notes in front of you.
Oh, well, no. Dex, actually, we're going to talk about you and Steve-O, you know, for a second. Rebecca and I are a little concerned because you had one job this week, remember?
One job.
Okay. So we finished the show last week, pretty heavy show, and we decided, or I decided, that I was going to go ahead and put Steve-O on a massing diet, so building muscle, gaining a little bit of extra weight, and then put Dex on a diet or a food challenge or a, what do you call it? Food challenge. And their one rule was to get up in the morning, get naked, get on the scale, and tell me what you weigh.
I did all of that
this
morning.
So I'm still waiting.
Except for the scale.
Yeah.
So
I don't own a scale.
Yeah, we were supposed to get the scale from the gym.
I don't own a scale, Eva.
I don't own a scale.
You don't?
Thank you.
No, I don't.
Thank you.
Maybe that's what my problem is.
Oh, Beck, you just became my best friend.
I'm bummed like the scale. I didn't bring one in today because I would have made you not get naked, but get on the scale, and we could have started. But an announcement to everybody in air that Steve-O and Dex have committed to take on the challenge.
Okay, so tell me.
6 weeks.
Tell me, it's 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Tell me what this challenge is. Like, I'm going to have to eat a lot, aren't I?
Well, I was just looking at your food plan, and you are.
Oh, no. Okay. Man. Because I.
Let's be very clear.
Yeah.
You don't get to eat whatever you want.
No. I don't eat enough. Like, right now. I really don't think I eat enough.
But aren't if somebody said.
I'm always hungry.
But when you eat when you're hungry.
But then I go to the cabinet, and I look, and I'm like, I'm too lazy to make that. And then I just go sit back on the couch and just let my stomach go.
Now, everybody in here has got the answer for that one, right? So everybody chime in what Steve needs to do. Because he just said he goes to the cabinet and he doesn't know what to do. What do you do? Food prep. And so the food's already there in front of you.
I know.
What the heck?
Yes, Steve. That's all
I thought you already had this down.
Yeah, what happened?
I did for like a week, but if you don't do it for like 14 days.
You were giving Dex a hard time.
Yeah. He does that.
On Sunday, I have this app.
Do as I say, not as I do.
That's where I was this week. Yeah. That's where I was this week. But it was my birthday.
Yeah.
It was my birthday.
Yeah. See, and I was just celebrating your birthday. I only went on your birthday.
Food coma.
Yeah, food coma. Yeah. I saw the cake.
I told you yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the cake on your Instagram. I'm like, oh no. But
Chantilly cake.
Yeah. Yeah, I went on your birthday. That was the only day I worked out this week. It was in honor of your birthday. I didn't go Monday, Tuesday, or yesterday.
So why didn't you go, Steve-O?
Why didn't I go, Dex?
Well, because every time I'd come in, because I always, you know, say, hey, going to the gym today? And he just turns around in his chair, no, not today. Doesn't really give me a reason why. Just
That's
says,
not true!
No, I'm not going today.
Okay.
But maybe this afternoon, which I know that won't happen.
And you know what?
I
think by now.
Went.
Wait. I think by now, Stu, he's got a community of people
that
drag him into the gym every single
time.
Or
I'm actually getting texts right now about today's open.
Dump you there.
Did you dump me?
I got to dump you, Amy.
Get your food into the gym.
That was amazing.
You can Dex say turned
but.
Around so quickly.
You can say butt. That's what you can
get
say.
Get your bottom to the gym.
There you go. I will be there today because today's the open. And for those that don't know, Beck, you do such a lovely job. We explain the open for the layman, for somebody who has no idea. Because I'm doing the open this year, and I'm like, when I try and explain it, people are like, you're doing what? What is it's basically.
It's not my favorite, but the energy.
Don't say that.
It's the energy. It's not my favorite because we think like we've come so far in CrossFit, and I've been doing it for like 2.5, 3 years. You think you've come so far in CrossFit, and then they pick all the workouts that are just, it brings out your weaknesses, but it challenges you at the same time. So. Every Thursday night.
6 p.m.
They announce the next one
across the world.
Yeah. So for those that are actually like really into this, the top whatever make it to regionals. It's a real competition.
It's a real
right?
competition. I mean, people are really serious about
I think
it.
It's
like
15
the seasoned athletes,
people
they have to film
out of the
it.
Region. The top 15. I think
that's
don't
crazy.
Quote me on that, but I think I heard Dylan say that the other day that it was the top 15 people. I mean, so they release this workout, and you have 4 days to complete the workout.
Yeah. They give you the cool YouTube video where it's like, this is what you've got to do. And it's that same chick that's like
wasn't the beast. Same chick.
She's a beast, and she's like just doing it. And I'm like, why do they get a girl to do this? Because I feel like an idiot. I can't do this. Last week, Amy was my judge, and I'm like, well, she's never judging me again.
No. Why? Because I pushed you.
She pushed me so hard.
You did great.
That's her job.
Why did you not want a judge to do that?
I will say I did feel proud because there are certain people in the gym that I aspire to be, and one of them is April because she's like crazy and always there. And yeah, so I was I was intimidated. And I was like, I don't even want to know how many she got.
April's a girl.
I got 128 reps. Yeah, but she's still been there for years. April. Like, she's been doing CrossFit forever. And so it's like, I just wanted to aspire to be like the ladies because they're so fit. And so I seriously was hesitant. And then I asked and I said, how many reps did you get? And she said, 78. And then I was like, because I got 128, and it was because you pushed me.
Said on air you wish I hadn't been there.
Yeah, I don't want you to be there because
you're giving her that job.
Steve-o. You know how many times she no-repped me? Yeah. I was like, no rep? Who does that? Come on. Okay. I want to have
just,
Dylan.
Integrity is everything.
Because Dylan's just like, you're just doing a great job.
All right. People that don't know what CrossFit are kind of bored.
Yeah, they're like, what are you
talking about? We got a ton of questions. We already got questions.
All right, let's talk about the questions.
Somebody had a fitness question. I exercise by running casually about 2 miles, but I'm concerned about accruing permanent knee damage. Any recommendations on form or frequency of runs to stay healthy while avoiding knee damage?
My answer to that would be that if you're just running, you should also incorporate
weight training.
I mean, I was a runner, triathlete, marathon runner, blah, 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 for years and years and years, and I did not get that core strength until I started doing some weight training with that. So, yeah, it's good for your knee. You know, it's brutal on your knees to just do running, so do some core work to build the muscles up around your knee, so you're not dealing with that.
I wonder
in 10 years.
If my son's dealing with that because he's almost 16 and he's in ROTC.
Yeah,
and he runs like 4 miles a day.
Yeah,
and yesterday he was walking up the stairs and he was going, "Dad, my knees are killing me." And I'm like, "Man, you're 15 years old and your knees are killing you." And I'm wondering if it's because he hasn't really done any weight training to build up some muscles, or if.
Well, my son would be able to tell me right away. There is a, for all you people listening here, what is it called? Where they pull the muscles in their knees.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time to kids, where it is very painful.
Yeah.
And, the only thing, it happened to my son too. I'm not going to say it on air because I cannot pronounce it. But it happened to my son, too, and he just had to stop.
Really?
He had to stop working out for 3 weeks, four weeks to rest
and
rebuild it.
Mm. What are you doing when he has the – are you putting, you know, ice?
Telling to ice it.
See, I have an 11-year-old who is a catcher. He plays baseball, and his knees – I mean
– same.
And he's going through growing pains, and he's going – but, unfortunately, there's no, like – we'll just take a month off of
club
baseball.
Well, they say rest. Right.
Right.
They say that for soccer. How can you take the time off? But if your body is hurting you and it hurts to do the activity, obviously you've got to listen to your body first and take the time off.
That's why I wasn't there this week, guys. My body was hurting. I was listening to my body. It told me not to go to the gym this week. Don't you give me that evil look.
God. Such lame excuses. Oh, my goodness. So lame.
She's going to fight me. I just saw that evil look come out.
It was incredible. I saw Dex. Probably every day this week.
Yeah, Dex, you were in the gym.
Okay.
God, let's talk about Dex right now and
please,
how great he is.
Just tell me.
Let's just push Steve-O down to the ground.
Go ahead.
Thank you. You were there last night. I was watching you, and you were just pushing yourself, you and Leslie together. I mean, talk about the small changes you've made, but great changes you've made.
We've
in the
swapped
last,
roles.
You know, no, totally Steve-O, you just had a crappy week this week.
Yeah. No.
You know, seriously, Dex, that's awesome. That's why I'm so excited to start you on the food challenge.
Yeah. Guys, right? I got to tell you, mentally, I've changed so much. I've never been at this spot in my life as far as mentally, because last night, my wife texted me. I had no plans of going to the gym. And she texted me, and everything in me said, no, I'm not going to go. But I said, yes. The other day, I'm driving to the gym. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to go to the gym. I'm going home. And everything in me said, just go home. And I said, no, I'm going to the gym. So it's like, mentally, every time I say to myself, no, don't go, I do it. That's changed everything.
He's had a paradigm shift.
Yeah, he really has.
Now you're going to be upset when you don't hit the gym. Yeah. And you're that's where you need to be.
Dex, 7 times 7.
49.
Wow, mentally strong.
Thank you.
Hey, Dex, the other thing about that is how many people talk about that exercise and that release of endorphins is better than therapy. It releases you. We've talked about that a million times. Like, it's a relief of depression. It gets you out of your slump that you may be in, is moving your body and releasing that endorphins and those, I think that's great that you're doing that versus taking, working so early in the morning, going home, taking that afternoon nap and just staying in that position the rest of the night where you're like, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to move my body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll feel better. You'll look better. Everything.
I told Steve-O this morning, we're hitting that yoga class because my body, it's stiff.
It's because we were listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. And Arian Foster, a football player, was like, "I'm going to do yoga," and he's like, "Now he wants to do yoga."
That's yoga's not true. Great.
I've been telling Leslie, we got to do that yoga class because I've been so stiff from, I don't get massages or anything.
Tuesday night, I don't roll out.
I'm going to go. I'm going to ask him to change everything.
We've had like three people chime in on the live line about the sore or hurting knees. One ran cross country in high school. Another one is a runner as well. They're all saying the same thing. The shoe is a huge, whatever type of shoe you're rocking is a huge difference depending upon what it is. And someone said your son could be a pronate. I don't know. Which means he just needs a different type of shoe. Happened to this person, their knee pain went away as soon as I changed shoes because I'm a pronator.
That's a good call.
I don't even know what that is. But yeah, multiple people talking about how running shoes greatly change your ability to run.
Guess what shoes my son is using to run in. My shoes.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
My blue shoes that I've worn out. And he...
Yeah, he needs new shoes.
For the past month, he's on this run. He's like, I run like 4 miles a day. And so he's been using mine. And so that's what it is.
Yeah.
I bet you that's exactly what it is.
All right.
New shoes.
I'm a terrible dad.
We're just going to run, right?
Like we can just run.
Okay, good. Best exercise to help bad posture. Is that, what do you want to work? I mean,
pull your shoulders back.
Well, I know, but I mean, what exercise is for you to do that? Is that an exercise or just mentally?
Building your back posture. Yeah, you know, that's a lot of it. It has to do with the thoracic part of your back. That's like the middle part of your back, just plain. It's lower, the cervical. Thoracic, it's right there in the middle, and we get knots. I mean, from sitting down all day, most people sit down all day.
We're all standing.
We're all standing.
We're all sitting all day.
Amy's sitting down. Amy's sitting down.
But she's got great posture.
Well, it's because I think about it. I think you don't consciously think about your posture.
No,
I have pictures of me, and I'm like, oh my god, my posture is so bad. Yeah. And so, consciously pulling those shoulders back and being aware of your posture.
This is going to sound dumb, but you were saying exercises. I think back squats have honestly helped me with my back.
Yes, it also has to do with your position. If you don't know how to properly back squat, you're still going to be coming forward.
No, absolutely. But that's because I learned from you guys. And because I learned that, it was like, okay, I got to keep my, shoulders back. And then front squats, back squats really help me pull my shoulders back. Yeah.
Pulling your back back. I mean, sometimes Dylan will crack my back. I'm like, what are you talking about? My back is in good form. He's like, no, it's not.
Right.
You know, not even aware of it.
In CrossFit, we call it poor thoracic extension. So their lower back, they've got all these back muscles that are overcompensating and they can't even, some people come in, they can't even get their elbows in front of them. Yeah. You know, we say elbows high.
I feel like I'm like that sometimes.
So mobility, there's a lot. I mean, some people need a little extra work, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Stretching, breathing, yoga.
Yeah. Yoga.
It's
yoga.
My life now,
see it?
Guys.
And now food challenge. So all you listeners will follow up with Steve-O and Dex next week. They're going to start the food challenge Monday morning.
We are their accountability partners.
Yeah. Which is good. I need this because I will be completely honest right now. Talking about, in all honesty, why I didn't go this week.
Oh, wow. It's coming out.
I didn't meal prep my yogurt or my oatmeal this week. So the one day I had them was Wednesday. It was the day I actually went to the gym. And then I just didn't meal prep at all this week. So I didn't have food. And so I would get done with the show. I wouldn't have any energy because I hadn't eaten throughout the show. And then it was like, I could go to the gym, but I'm so exhausted. I'm just going to go home. And then I'd go home and look at food and my stomach would be rumbling and be like, I'm just going to take a nap. And seriously, like my food intake greatly affected my desire to go to the gym this week because I just had no energy.
Drained you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
No energy.
It's everything. Food is everything.
Everything. That's like when we sit down with Rebecca and I sit down with the food challengers and I get feedback like, oh, I didn't have that meal because I just thought it'd be better to skip it so I lose more weight. Are you kidding me? This body, this engine that God has given us needs to be fueled. And so if we choose to not eat, you're going to feel lethargic. You're going to feel like crap. You're not going to want to get off the couch. You're not going to want to go for that walk with your dog or go for a run around the park or get to a gym.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to feel like that because you haven't fueled. It's like running a car on empty. How many times have we said that? Right?
I skipped lunch almost every day this week.
Oh, Steve-o.
I know. I used to. I was terrible at, like, that's always been my thing. I was terrible at eating. Teo would get after me all the time because I could skip meals.
And Teo was an eating machine. He was constantly eating.
Look at his body.
I know, right?
He was lean and muscle and strong and healthy. Yep. Because he was eating.
I don't know what happened this week. Something's, and I just got lazy and didn't do any meal prep. And that was all it took because I had no energy to. Yesterday, I even had to apologize to my wife because I was so grumpy.
Man.
I get like hangry and I hadn't eaten. And
quit
so
being
I'm like,
dumb.
I know. And so I'm like grilling and just kind of being aggro and I can smell the food. And she's like, hey, what's wrong with you? What happened? Why are you like this? Because I was just. They came home and I was a jerk. Yeah. I was grumpy.
Yeah, everybody that's listening right now,
I realized, hopefully, I haven't eaten all day.
Exactly.
If it was like grumpy, 5 o'clock at night and I hadn't eaten.
That's why. It's because you're not eating right.
Yeah.
That's nobody else's problem.
It's yours.
I know. I'm sorry.
Man, you're bringing down the show.
Big
right
boy
now.
Pants.
I think what you're talking about, Steve-O, is the norm. I think everybody falls into that.
Yes.
Even if you don't work out, if you're not eating right, you're going to be grumpy.
Yeah, I get hangry.
Fight with your wife
or
your husband.
Do drive-thrus and you eat like crap. Like Rebecca said, okay, this week, her birthday week, talk to us about what it felt like from going from clean to eating crappy. You felt crappy, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I had tacos. So I had tacos, my favorite thing.
My sister
Margaret made this amazing salsa. That was probably the only healthy thing.
Oh, that's healthy.
All the cheese. So there's some saturated fat. And I usually eat avocado in my tacos. That's my Marty over it, but man, I miss cheese when I have to say it. I miss cheese. So I had cheese on my tacos and I ate a lot of I overate. I was literally like, I got this one day.
Overate tacos.
It might have been eight tacos. I spaced them out. I started with three.
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
Undereating and feeling like crap, yeah. Right? Where's the balance?
Yeah, you know?
But I went and worked out. It was motivation to work out because I was like, I better get in the gym. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I saw Amy, I said, I ate so much crap yesterday.
Yeah. Rebecca and I are our accountability coaches to each other. I text her twice a week what I'm eating, what I weigh, you know, just because we all need it.
Right. Yeah.
If you think that the people that are out there just doing it on their own, a lot of them have some kind of coach or support to get them to get through the tough times. Like, Steve-O, you had a tough week this week. You didn't get to the gym. You didn't feel good. Who's your accountability person?
Oh, I had so many people bugging me. So that's what I said. But everybody, like, because he was bugging me every day. And then I've got, like, April and Miranda. I have this, like, group where they're, like, every day. 11:30? 11:30? I'm like, I can't. This week, I'm just going to be honest. I was the worst. Tuesday, they hit me up and it was like 11:30. And I'm like, my stomach's not feeling well, so I think I'm just going to go home, go to sleep.
Gosh.
You'd be glad that there's so many people that love you.
I think my stomach felt better by like 8 a.m.
You just really have no excuse,
Steve-O. I don't. I'm the worst. I'm being honest.
You have so much people, so many that love you and
whatever.
Community is everything. People don't have intervention time. Let's talk.
Hey, I'm being honest. Because it's the truth. There's so many people that feel like that. I don't know.
Most people don't have that community of like,
that's very true.
30 people texting them to get in the gym every single
day.
They don't have that.
Yeah.
Hey, we were talking about, right before the show started, the four of us were talking about, the whole thing that Steve was talking about. How do you get to the gym? Mm-hmm. And in talking to people this week at the gym, I had at least four people tell me that go to my HIIT classes and Rebecca and I's classes, they were talking about, oh, we want to try CrossFit, but I'm scared. So we've talked about like sitting in the parking lot, not coming mm-hmm. to the gym and, mm-hmm. you know, saying you're going to go do it, but you drive through the gym, drive by the gym and you're like, I can't do that. Everybody in there is stronger, better, bigger, whatever yeah. than I am, which is
we get
false,
it.
Right? It's negative.
It's negative
stuff that we tell ourselves. It's not true. So we're talking about like putting together something where people that have never done CrossFit before or people that are intimidated about the gym, where we had a safe environment for them to come and talk to them about, you know, functional movements and this is what it's like. And so we're going to take a little poll for all your listeners out there. Would you come to the gym if you knew that the people that you were meeting there never had done CrossFit before? Mm. Would that change your thinking if you said, okay, everybody I'm meeting, whether it's yeah. 5 people or 10 people, everybody I'm meeting right now is right on the same boat as I am. Yeah. You know, would that motivate you? Would you feel more confident? Would you get your butt to the gym? What does it take to get yourself to move?
Yeah.
Maybe that's even a better question to start with.
Yeah.
What would get you to move? You know, yeah. what do you need from us, from Rebecca and I, from this hour that we take every week? Yeah. How do we change your life so you do take that time yeah. to move? You know, it's like what we talked about last week, taking that time to pray.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that this week I'd get up in the morning, I'd be like, okay, Amy, this is pretty simple. Close your eyes and say good morning to God. Right. How easy is that?
Right.
You know, we spend an hour talking about how we want a better relationship with God. What do I need to do? Close my eyes and say good morning to God. Right. Help me get through this day and be the best person I can be.
Yeah.
So we're asking all of you that want to improve your health. And so we feel like we're helping you.
Yeah.
What do we need to do? How can we help you get your butt to the gym?
What was instrumental for me, because I think if Teo hadn't pushed me so hard in the beginning, I wouldn't have even gone to the gym, because I never cared about working out. I was skinny fat, so it was like, well, I look good even though I'm dying. I look great.
Oh man, that's a whole thing we need to talk about. That's another topic we need to talk about.
Look good but dying. Skinny fit.
Yeah. Little on the skinny side, but definitely yeah. So I never cared about the gym, and if it weren't for him pushing me so hard, I don't even know if I would have gone. But once I got there, my excuses were I'm brand new and I don't know how to do anything. So going through Foundations, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. When I went through Foundations and you were like, here's why we do this, and here's the muscles that, because I didn't care in school. I didn't pay attention to any, you know, it's like, this is my calf? Oh, okay, cool. I don't even know what muscle this is. Once I realized that, you know, God built this pretty incredible machine and they all like work together and you can get them to like be teammates and hang out and work together, it changed everything.
We're gonna have him teach our foundation.
Because well, once I had that basic understanding, it was like, oh, that's how you do this. Because I know this is going to sound stupid, but like, think to like PE when you're a kid. Nobody ever teaches you how to run. They just go, run a lap! You know what I mean? You're like, okay. And then you got some kids like flailing their arms who don't know how to run. Like, simple things like learning how to run properly can change everything.
Right.
And so I think people need to realize that it's not this unspoken, like, oh, there's just somebody, you know, Tim Tebow woke up and he was just naturally gifted at almost everything except professional sports.
He wasn't.
And so I think that changes when you realize that we're all kind of, we all start somewhere. No matter what it is.
We all start somewhere. I wasn't an athlete either.
Really?
My motivation when I first, no.
See, that's crazy to me. I didn't know this. That's crazy to me.
I was in music and arts. I was in choir. My family
what?
And I. Yeah.
this was another story.
I was not. My motivation was a boy.
Okay.
A boy. It's a boy. Well, that's okay to care about
he
what
was
you
a
look
soccer
like,
athlete.
Right?
This boy is now my husband.
That's
so
cool.
It's great.
That's great. That's cool. So
it
the gym
out really good
all
for
right,
me.
Sweet. There you go. Single people, just get to the gym.
Well, it does help. If you get to the gym and you get leaner and you're eating better, you feel better. And you feel better, you give off that vibe to everybody.
You're in that receiving mode.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. Because I do think I'm much happier. I don't want to say happier because I know that's just a fleeting emotion. But I'm more content, I should say. And I don't mean that. That doesn't take anything away from my relationship with Christ. Because obviously, my true contentment is only there. But it helps me with that. Because, dude, if I don't eat well, I get grumpy.
Right.
And I'm hangry, and I'm being a jerk to my wife, and I'm a jerk to my kids, and I'm like snapping at the people I love.
Yeah. The people that you love the most.
Oh, yeah.
My little 5-year-old, that's who hear it when I'm on eat. So I have to.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, same with Dex. I mean, you've made such big changes. Do you find even around the house that you've got a better attitude around the house, around everybody?
Leslie's at home.
Hey, wait, let's not go too far. Still married to Leslie.
Yeah. I think I'm not the normal average person. I can't really answer that because of my schedule.
Mean?
Well, my schedule
is so... He sleeps during the day. He's still the same. He's a sloth.
It's tough for me because it's that balance of if I get too much sleep, then I feel awful. I wake up from like a 4-hour nap and I'm like, oh man, I slept too long. If I didn't get enough sleep, I'm crabby. But if I get just enough, then I feel great. But it's trying to get that sweet spot, you know? So for me, it's been really tough sleep-wise. But mentally, I feel better. And I'm more motivated to do things. So, but my life hasn't changed all that much just because of my stupid sleep schedule. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate that I wake up at 2:30 in the morning. I hate that.
Yeah.
Well, but that's not going to change.
That's my life.
Speaking of schedules, though, dude, the live line's going crazy. The Starmy, people are chiming in.
Okay, bring it on.
Comments, questions galore. But speaking of your life, that's exactly it. Somebody wanted to know, how do you force yourself to move your schedule around to make time for the gym? That's their big hang up. I have zero time between work and ministry.
Mm.
Oh, man. Wow. That is a little tough, I will say, because I mean, there's so many different times of the day that.
Well,
there
most
are
of the people, the 11:30 class, especially I think most of them are on their lunch break,
right?
So
they sacrifice that
lunch break to get to the gym and do it, and then get back to work.
But that's why you'll also see people like me when I get in there. If I haven't eaten, I go straight to your guys' little apple bin because you guys have like free fruit, and I'm like, I'm taking this apple, and I will
and
rock
that's
an apple.
For.
Right?
I mean, that's when you should
free workout.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I'll
hide it from the kids. I bring it out for the adults.
Yeah.
I do. When CrossFit Kids comes through that door and there's 25 kids running around that have just worked out, you won't see that apple. But if I'm around, you won't see that apple basket.
Yeah.
Keep those apples away from those kids.
I that helps me tremendously.
Not your apples. Yeah. Give me that apple back.
that's another side of Amy.
That's when we choose to go is during our lunch break.
Yeah.
And that's exactly when the 11:30 class that we go to, just about everybody.
Yeah, I would say try to find a time to go right after work or during, you know, if you can leave work, go. Because if you go home, for me, if I went home first.
Oh, forget about it,
right? There's no way.
Right, you're too tired.
Yeah.
And working with one of your, whatever your gym is at, working with a coach or your support system and figuring out a schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I get up at 5 in the morning, great, go to a 6:30 a.m. class, you know, change at the gym and get to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Trying to incorporate it into your life. I mean, we all have to
just
do that.
Like you meal prep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prep for the week.
Yeah.
Write it all down. Have a calendar. Write it all down. That's how I keep a schedule.
Me too.
Kids are unpredictable.
And like we said, just start out with baby steps.
Yeah.
If you are just starting out, don't go all crazy because I find you'll fall flat on your face and just give up.
Well,
so easy.
Man,
and
so many people.
Well, we'll help.
Well, we were also talking about what is too much. So I always tell people start with 3 days a week.
Okay.
Commit to 3 days a week where you're like, okay, 3 days I'm going to commit to. And I'm not saying come to Bear Canyon CrossFit. I'm saying take a walk outside.
Move.
I'm
right.
saying
Move.
Climb the Sandia Mountains with your dog. I'm saying run around the park with your kid. Do something active 3 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, so you're starting and moving your body. You
Absolutely.
Know?
That's good.
So many questions. We got like 8 minutes, so I'm going to do lightning round.
Okay,
so fast answers, Amy and Beck. Here we go. How do I train my body to want to eat as much as I probably should so that I don't skip meals?
Start eating. As soon as you start eating, your body will crave it, will start burning the fat, and you will be amazed that you wake up hungry.
Every 2 to 3 hours.
Yep.
Every 2 to 3 hours.
Yep.
Okay. Somebody else chimed in when you're talking about how do you feel about just being around like all noobs, basically, that are at your level.
Yeah.
But this person said, I actually found making friends with those jacked people at the gym was the best thing that you could do. Very friendly, and when I've made friends with them, I usually work out with them for months at a time with the people I meet up at the gym with. Having that person to push you even harder than you would push yourself is when you have that motivation to go. We're friendly people and are willing to help each other out.
Well, that's the perfect scenario, right? Yeah. That's a perfect scenario, but there are people out there, and we have to honor and acknowledge them, that are intimidated by the jacked people. Mm. Yeah. So my question was, you know, if you're with a bunch of people that aren't jacked and are just starting out,
that you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a social thing. Is everybody really social with walk into a group and be like, hey, I'm Amy. You know, not everybody do that, you know?
Not everybody. Yeah.
But I would agree with that comment.
Well, and good for you. I mean, challenge yourself.
Yeah, if you have that personality, then
good,
make
go
friends.
For it.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, this is
the best friends to have.
This is crazy. Like, shout out to this Starmie member. I went from 200 pounds to 154.
Wow.
A size 18 to a size 8.
Woo-hoo! Amazing. We have a clap?
Amazing.
I know, right?
There you go.
I feel so much better now. But I've hit a plateau for the last 3 months. What can I do to keep going with the weight loss? I'd like to get down to 125, 130. I want to do more toning, but I can't do things like squats because I have very bad knees. Man, you went from 200 to 154, and it's like, I just haven't done enough. That's crazy.
Well, he wants to put muscle. He wants.
Is it a guy or a girl?
I mean, I don't know.
We're not sure. Either way, the solution's the same. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the gender is. I mean, we'd have to know more about the knee problem. Is it a injury?
Or I know, right?
And also about timing of your food. I think when you get down to 154 and you're looking to drop down to 135 or something like that, then you're looking at really honing in on when you're eating, what you're eating. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's more about fueling your body. So it gets a little harder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Somebody said, honestly, to answer your question, Amy, I don't like going to the gym because I don't have friends in the area that I live to go with, and I'm afraid of making a fool of myself.
Exactly.
So that's
you and everybody in the boat. Yeah. I get that.
So somebody said, I don't understand why Beck's history as an artsy person is so surprising. I'm a music teacher, a band nerd, actually the king of band nerds, also very fit, athletic, and have been my whole life. I'm in the military. Why is there a stigma on people who are artsy being unfit?
That's right.
I don't think that was meant to be like that.
No, it wasn't meant to be like that. I was more blown away by the fact that, because I know you, I've met your sisters and everybody's music background. I knew you're artsy. What I didn't realize was that you weren't like super fit girl, because you're one of the coaches at Bear Canyon, and when I just assumed you were like a lifer. Fitness instructor, because
I'm just the example of anybody can do it.
No, because when you coach, I'm like, I'm there. That's why, like, even on your birthday, I'm like, are you coaching on your birthday? Because
I couldn't get
there. I'm
going
to go and I
coached
love you.
In the evening that day. That was my happy place.
There you go. Okay. Somebody said, I've been doing kettlebell swings each night at home. Last week it was 100 a night. This week it's 200 a night.
Wow.
And so on for 4 weeks. Last night I had to do my 200 swings and I couldn't find the motivation. I sat in front of my bell for an hour. I texted my friends that know my goals and asked for motivation, asking for the helper because it also helped me be accountable. So that's one thing that you can do. Started my swings. It took me forever, but I did them. So to anybody out there, you find an accountability partner or partners and make sure you use them. That can help you.
Got to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, dude. Make friends. Somebody said, I'm going to Vegas in a little less than a month. I bought an adorable dress that doesn't have sleeves. How can I do arms to get some toning to avoid being self-conscious in a month without overdoing it? Toning your arms in a month without overdoing it.
Wow. Well, diet and isolation. Bicep curls. Yeah, get into the gym.
Just talk to a
professional. Get into the gym.
It is like diet. Barbells. Diet's huge.
Look, you know, online, get on YouTube. There's a bunch of programs. You know, shoulders, you need to build, you know, biceps, triceps, shoulders. There's a million resources online. But diet, eat clean.
There you go.
You want to get ripped in 1 month? The Tower 200.
Yeah.
No, okay. You got a door, you got a gym.
Wait, no, shut up. Gosh, man.
1 month. Transformation. Body transformation 1 month and then get back
on
the couch.
Push-ups. You can do push-ups.
Okay, push-ups.
You can do push-ups. Okay. I'm trying to think what she could do at home. I mean, does she have a gym?
Kettlebells are huge.
Kettlebells are huge. Yeah, and I was going to suggest to that the that wonderful person doing 200 kettlebell swings.
Yeah.
Every night. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Change it up.
Yeah. Change it up. Because, you know, amazing that she had the to get back in, but she needs to be doing kettlebell. You could do a million things. Bicep curls with that kettlebell.
High pulls.
High pulls. Yeah. Snatches.
Or take that kettlebell, bring it to your chest and go into a squat. Yep. Work that butt.
Yeah. Dude, so many. And I didn't realize you could do all this. And then last week, I think I was at like Target and I saw like little just barbells and kettlebells. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know what those were until I was at it. You can buy those at the store.
Oh, Steve-O, you've come so far.
I'm just getting started, yo. Just getting started.
All right, we're out of time, ladies.
Boom!
It's always fun. Thanks for coming in. So Steve and I are starting our challenge, our food challenge on Monday. So.
I'm gaining 20 pounds.
Get on the scale. Get
I'm
naked.
Just stuff
get on
my
the scale.
They have Amy and I as their coaches. No,
they're in so much trouble.
Next Friday is going to be fun.
Good luck, guys.
Oh, man.
All right. Thank you, Starmie. When we come back, Sam Swan will be joining us, and we have to call my daughter. She's celebrating her birthday today.
Yeah!
Woo-woo!
We'll be right back.
March birthday.
Loyals, mind up. Good morning.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Call that number, would you?
Okay.
My daughter is going to school. Hopefully we didn't miss her. My daughter, Jaden, is turning 13 today, Sam.
Bless your heart.
She's turning 13.
Now, she's not your oldest child.
No, my oldest is almost 16, yeah.
How many, you have one daughter? Two.
One daughter.
She's in the middle.
Yep, and her and boys. Jack are the same age.
Oh, wow.
You just keep Jack away from her.
Whatever, bro. She would be honored.
You know, an arranged marriage might not be a bad thing.
You know what? I'm down with it. I really am. She is the...
Hello?
Oh, there she is. Good morning.
Oh, man.
Good morning, beautiful.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hey, Jaden.
Man.
What a sweet voice.
Hi. Oh,
That's because she's the sweetest person on the planet. She was in California last week, and she knows that Keanu Reeves is my favorite, so she went and took a picture of her feet on the star.
How sweet.
And I was like... Jaden loves me.
That's right,
so
the show
much.
Choir at Disneyland.
Yeah,
she's my fave.
it was really fun.
How cool.
Jaden, you are officially no longer a preteen, and it's kind of weird to me. But that's cool.
I'm blown away.
I'm fine with it because I don't know you. So.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that you're 13 years old. I am.
Do you feel weird? Does it feel different?
It actually does. I feel like I'm not a teenager.
Do you feel a little rebellious?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be rebellious.
Yeah. Did you wake up and feel like I'm going to do something today that's just going to bum my dad out?
I am going
to. That's cool, man.
I'm going to do backwards check marks. That's what I'm going to do.
Jaden, all the cool kids are doing it. Wait, what am I doing?
Peer pressure.
Whatever. I can joke like this because Jaden's got a good head on her shoulders, and she's amazing. So
I'm not worried about her.
Not at all.
My daughter is, you're perfect to my eyes. I just want you to know that.
Okay.
You are. I love you so much.
Aww.
And I would say that you have your flaws, but you're still so lovely. I can overlook your flaws because you're just a sweetheart. So.
Hey, Dex, don't make her cry right before school.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I can't wait to hang out with you and do birthday stuff later this afternoon. And
you too.
I love you, and have an amazing day, okay?
This is happening too quickly, Jaden, because I swear, like, 3 weeks ago, we were calling you for your 12th birthday.
I know.
Like, it just happened.
So crazy.
So, apparently...
I'm sorry I missed your 12th birthday.
Yeah. Sam missed it. It was really sad, but any special plans? Are you really excited for anything?
I might be planning something this weekend for, like, my friends and I.
That's good.
Nice, I like that.
No, all girls,
it's funny because
she's 13 already.
We usually hit up the Red Lobster on her birthday because she loves seafood. And so we always usually hit the Red Lobster.
Jaden, I'm going to take you to real seafood. Don't let him lie to you and pretend that Red Lobster... You're 13 now. You need to know the truth. That's like fast food seafood, okay?
That's true.
You need to experience real life. So we're going to take you... You're going to have real... Do you like sushi?
I love sushi.
Okay. Yeah. No Red Lobster. Yeah. No Red Lobster. Wow. That's like the Olive Garden of seafood.
You know what? It's my daughter. I'll take her wherever she wants to go. She wants to go to the Red Lobster. She can go to the Red Lobster.
Okay. If that's where you want to go, you know, if you just want to keep building mud castles in your backyard. That's cool, man.
All right. I know you have to get to school. I love you.
I love you guys.
Love you too, Jaden.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye, Jaden.
You too. Bye.
That's Jaden.
Your daughter is the best.
The best.
That's
awesome, man.
She really is.
I need to meet your kids.
Man, I really do have the best kids in the world.
Sometimes I lie about other people's kids and pretend like they're great when they're awful. She's one I don't have to lie about. Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
That's awesome.
I genuinely enjoy your daughter because she's a sweetheart. And, oh, man, you know those kids that when you have a lot of kids over and then it kind of gets chaotic? She's usually like the... She's really sweet and she's helpful and she'll be playing with Brody. Yeah. Like she cares and oh man.
Yeah. That's good.
Arranged. Yep. It's arranged. Too late.
You know?
Actually, that's not true.
Actually, if we had to choose right now, you're okay. Yes.
Jack doesn't know what girls are, though.
I know.
Well, wait, you haven't.
He's 13.
You guys haven't met Riley
so...
yet. He's only. Oh. He's just 14.
Okay. So. Okay. That's right. Too old. That's too old.
Well,
let's be honest.
He's just a freshman.
Okay.
He's probably tall.
He's got hauntingly blue eyes.
Okay. All right. We can talk later. We'll talk later.
Wow.
I'm definitely into this arranged marriage thing. There you go. And it's funny because people still do it. And I think it's great. I think we should promote that.
Not going to happen.
The parents love it. The kids would hate it.
See, especially since Jack's big advice, remember, just recently for Valentine's Day, we called our kids, and Jack gave the big piece of advice that he grew up with.
That's not his advice.
But that's what he believes, because it was my advice.
I don't know if he actually
believes. We were talking, you know, love and everything, and I said, Jack, what is the number one piece of advice I tell you on the huge? And he said, never get married. And I said,
you're getting
that's
in trouble
the
again.
One.
You know, when we did
that's
that,
the one.
When we did that, my wife, I got home and she goes, why do you guys do that? Why do you guys say that you just hate being married?
What? And we don't say that.
Well, what did you just, what, really?
That's my number one piece of advice because he's 13 years old. Yeah. And all of his.
Why would a 13-year-old want to be married? That's ridiculous.
All of his friends are already, they're like, well, I'm on my second girlfriend. Yeah, it's like, you don't even know what that means.
Our wives translate that as, oh my gosh, they hate being married.
Well, yeah. No. Obviously not.
I never said it, Leslie. It was Steve-O.
It was me. Because I don't want them to. I just remember when I was that young, I didn't care about the opposite sex at all until all of my little friends around me, everybody had girlfriends, and I'm like, what is this world? And the parents are like setting everybody up, and you're going to date my daughter.
I was interested in girls very early. So I was probably one of the ones that would, you know.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have a girlfriend.
I was the same way.
That's what I.
And so then I did. From like sixth grade on until now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's I will like, say dude, that live a little.
A little over 30 years ago, I got the best girlfriend ever.
Oh, you know. That was
I
sweet.
I hope she's listening.
How many years?
In July will be 33.
Oh my gosh.
Years.
That is
wow, 33
dude.
Years
you guys
married.
Started dating when you were 7?
We were 7.
Cool.
It was
man.
An arranged dating. Yeah. She grew to love me. She grew to love me.
I mean, you did
me.
Say really young, so that's cool, man.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
It's you know what's funny about it is that it doesn't feel like that long.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like Brenda and I say that all the time. We're like, where did the time go? Because our kids are grown. Our oldest daughter will turn 30 this year.
Wow!
Yeah.
What? You old!
No. I'm vintage.
You look great.
I'm vintage.
You do, Sam. You look great. You really don't look that old.
Thanks, no, you man. Don't. You
I
don't.
Appreciate it.
And I'm excited because I feel I like we have similar like
no.
structure.
Jeans
so I'm like,
and,
I'm going to be so, I'm going to look so
you're
young
gonna
when I'm
You're going to be handsome
old.
When you're as old as
I am,
Steve-O.
Yeah,
I'm
Yeah, so
it's
excited.
A crazy thing. And Brenda, it has to be some, you know, it's in our genes to be this way. We've been active. I've been in student ministry my whole life, which I
you're
guess for some people, So for some people that might age them, but it's helped kind of keep me energized and,
did you guys ever have a tough time in your marriage as far as, you know, I mean, where you were you thought you might not make it?
No, no, never really? That bad.
Wow.
We've had some struggles, but it never, it, at least in my mind, it never got to the point where we thought, where I thought, oh gosh, I'm fixing to lose my
that's
marriage.
Great.
I never ever got to that point. Thankfully,
yeah, that's great.
I know that's sort of a rare thing,
yet.
But we.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's fine. If he's made it this far without an incident, you're fine. You have another 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know the future, Dex. Let's not try to be prophetic here. Oh, Steve, that's great. Yeah,
thank you.
And
thank
it's
you.
Really fun. I don't say that. I don't want that to sound like.
Right,
bragging or
no, it doesn't
because
come
we
up
have
bragging.
Had some struggles.
Sure,
we have had
everybody
some struggles,
does.
Some all kinds of things that most couples yeah. will go through things like that. And there's ebbs and flows.
Sure,
but I guess part of it was that when we started our marriage, the word divorce
right.
never entered our minds. That we didn't go into it thinking, well, if it doesn't work out, we'll get divorced. And we talked about that before we got married.
Yeah.
And I've had some friends, some very dear friends, who got to a point where one in particular that they just had this thing happen in their relationship where nothing immoral, nothing. They just started drifting apart.
Mm.
And they had to have a trial separation, but my friend, they're both my friend, but the husband, he decided this is not going to end badly.
Yeah.
I am going to – he's a pastor, and he said, we're going to work on this. And he started wooing his wife back again, it was an amazing transformation to watch.
That's phenomenal.
God work in their life. Yeah. And now as a pastor, when he talks to couples who are struggling, he's able to speak from a real circumstance to share and help them get through this. And he and his wife have helped so many couples in their church. It's amazing.
Why do you think that more couples don't take that break, like the separation break? Why are they so fast to divorce?
I think part of it is that in our world, we are so we so want to be happy, and the moment we're not happy, the easiest thing to do is to change our circumstance so that we can be happy.
Yeah.
I remember there was a very famous person who had been married for a long time, and he was in the public eye. And then shortly after he was sort of on his way out of the public eye, he got divorced. And one of the things that he said was, he and his wife separated and were divorced, he said was, we just weren't happy together anymore. And that, to me, was sort of a telling thing on how we look so much for our happiness, and we don't realize that we can't always be happy. And there's going to be times when we have to just kind of push through the difficulty and survive. And then on the other side, we can celebrate and be happy. But there's something – happiness is fleeting. It's based on circumstances, where if we can find our strength in the joy of the Lord – then that doesn't mean we're always going to be happy, but we can work through anything that he's walking through with us. And as a couple, we can work on those kind of things too.
I'm glad we're talking about this because we got a letter earlier this week. Somebody is getting married in 2 weeks.
Okay.
His name's Kevin. He grew up listening to my show, and you know Steve-O. He's heard him. We've both been in radio forever, so. He says, my parents would drive me to school listening. I'm 21 now. My dad died right after high school. My mom is very happy about the wedding. She loves my fiance, but there's one thing that's missing, and that's advice my dad would be giving me about marriage.
Oh.
I know this sounds odd, but do you have any advice for me before I get married? I'm asking you guys because, I feel like you're family. Through the years listening to you, I know not to buy my wife a vacuum for Christmas. I know to try my best to listen when my wife speaks. I also learned from your show to not look at your phone at the dinner table.
Yep.
Is there anything else I need to know before I say I do? It's a great question.
That's a very good question.
Getting married in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I wonder if he has, if they've been going through any kind of premarital counseling that would help answer some of those questions for him.
Okay.
And a good premarital counselor, whether it's a pastor or whether it's a professional Christian counselor or whatever, they're going to help them to understand things silly that seem silly to be discussing, but once you get married, it's not. It becomes less silly, and it can escalate. Like,
are you talking about how many times a week you have to do it?
No.
No. Okay. That's what I thought.
That's a different type of escalation.
Seems silly to have to talk about it. But
it is warm in here. All
eventually, you're going to be like,
turn on the fan.
Still not.
My face is red.
Not meeting that quota.
No, I'm talking about taking out the trash and squeezing the toothpaste tube. Yeah. And here's the
Baptist
thing.
We went two different places. Where
yeah, no dancing. You cannot dance.
No dance.
And once
no
you're cards. Married, you can dance.
It, what's really bad is if you play cards while you're dancing. That's a road straight to perdition, I'm telling you. Listen, one of the things that Brenda and I had to kind of grow through early on in our marriage is that in her family, they didn't close cabinets or doors all the way. They pushed it just to, so it was sticking out. It wasn't flush with the other door on the cabinet, okay? So in my family, we close doors. Right. We're closers. We finish things. We don't just stop part of the way.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry. I'm bringing up the bitterness of the discussion. Yeah. So one of the things that we had to discover as we got married was we either had to grow in one direction or the other. Yeah. And mm-hmm. what sort of cinched it was one time when we first got married, we lived in West Campus Married Student Housing at Eastern New Mexico University.
Wow.
And it's still there. And it was old when
still
we lived
like
there.
Smell like cows.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Well, the air does, but the building smells like it was built in the 20s, even though it was built in the 60s.
Wow.
So anyway, the cabinets had it was old school kind of metal cabinets, and it would have the little latch thingy so it could lock down. And if you didn't do that, because of the oldness of the apartments, the one cabinet would drift open. Well, she didn't close it all the way. It drifted open, and I was bending underneath the sink getting something, and I stood up and caught that door on the top of my head, and it hurt.
This is the first time that you thought of divorce.
No, murder.
Gosh!
Murder, not
murder?
Divorce.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Because divorce wasn't in our language. Right. Murder is perfectly acceptable.
That's different.
So I slammed the door. Now I slammed that cabinet door. In the meantime, something fell out of the dish rack thingy, and it knocked a mug off onto the floor. That mug shattered, and a piece of it shot across the room and cut.
Oh my gosh.
Cut Brenda's leg. This all happened, so I'm furious, and then I feel bad because my sweet bride, who was, let's see, that time she was 12, I was 13.
right.
She's got a cut on her leg.
Right.
And so I'm going off on this cabinet, and she's bleeding, and so it was a real moment for us, and she closes doors all the way now.
Oh.
And I no longer throw coffee mugs at her. I didn't throw it at her. It fell off the counter and shattered. Because she was
hilarious.
Close. She was like in the doorway of the kitchen. It was a little tiny kitchen. Mm-hmm. The kitchen was smaller than the studio.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was one of the things that a marriage counselor could not have helped us. Pre-marriage counselor would not have helped us to know that particular situation was going to happen. But we thankfully talked to somebody who had wisdom to say, listen, there's going to be little tiny things that seem insignificant and silly even for you to even consider. But when they come up, it's going to be huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of had to work through those things. I could tell you another story about a coffee table we bought that on one side had fancy, it had like two columns and those columns were like open shelves and they had a sliding door so you could put stuff in there like VCR tapes or whatever and then close them. And then we had this huge fight. Did those face out into the room or face the couch? And I don't remember who was on what side, but we had a differing opinion on whether it should face out. Because I think it was me who thought when people come in, we want them to see the fancy doors, not the plain back of the coffee table.
Right.
When she said, no, but when people sit on the couch, we want them to see the fancy doors, not the plain back of the. So we back and forth. And I won.
Over.
Oh yeah, I won for that night.
Yeah.
So we went to bed. The next morning, I got up. I felt horrible. Now we didn't go to bed. We didn't go to bed mad. Well, she did, and then I came to bed later. I'm kind of teasing about that. We worked it out before we went to bed. So then the next morning, I got up early and I turned the table around the way she wanted it because one of the things that struck me. Thankfully, I had enough wisdom to think, you know, it's just a stupid table.
Just a stupid table.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? So those are the kind of things that this guy that wrote in needs to just be aware of, that these stupid little things that seem insignificant, though, and even in the moment, it might seem insignificant to you, but to your wife, it could be huge.
Well, that speaks to me. And
so don't minimize whatever.
I've been married for almost 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Leslie and I still fight over the dumbest things. I'll stop myself and go, are we really fighting over this?
Yeah.
This is just, this is dumb.
Yeah,
you know, whatever. Let's just move on, and you know, it just I love that advice. I think if you can understand that when you first get married,
yeah.
That'll help so much.
One of the keys is just being able to talk things through.
Yeah.
And I have to be careful of this, not to get defensive, because I have a tendency to be super defensive, super fast. And so I have to guard against that. And sometimes, but just because of the way I am, when we get in a heated discussion, I get all excited and animated, and she's not that way. And early on in our marriage, she said, "Why are you yelling at me?" And I said, "Sweetheart, I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I'm not yelling.
Yeah.
This is just the way that I am." So I've had to learn how to kind of temper that. And she had to learn that that's kind of the way that I am.
Right.
And just know that I'm, because of what's going on, my adrenaline is pumping and I'm yelling, but I'm not yelling at you. The situation is causing this extra emotion.
Yeah.
There's so much to learn.
You know,
pay attention.
You know what I think is really important? We talk about health a lot, you know, on the show, especially, you know, earlier this morning. On Fridays, we talk health and fitness, and Steve and I are really on this kick to really, you know.
It's not a kick, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, just stay motivated and get healthy. And this goes along with where I'm at in my marriage. I feel like when I'm fighting with my wife, it's because maybe I'm not eating right. I'm not eating the right things. Yeah. I'm not working out.
You got to pay attention to a lot of that.
You know, and part of it, like I've been talking about, is my sleep schedule.
Right. Yeah.
And I think everybody, you know, that's married right now, if maybe you need to look at those simple things, like just making sure you're eating every couple, 2-3 hours, you're getting that workout in.
Yeah.
I think that changes everything.
Yeah.
When I take vacations and I have just a normal week of sleep like everybody else, I feel like a completely different person.
Oh, absolutely.
I enjoy my family.
Yeah.
I enjoy just being around them. When I work like I do now, I'm on edge all the time because I'm lacking sleep.
Well, there's sleep and there's pressure for being on the job and wanting to do, and particularly in your sort of a public job, you want to do well, you want to entertain, you want to help answer some people's
questions.
Give
a lot of energy out on the show.
There's a lot of pressure, and when you don't have to, you know, when you can take some time off, that helps. And I think that's part of the deal that you're on to something here, Dex, that leads to conflict is that some of it has nothing to do with what actually happened.
Right.
But that becomes the proverbial last straw.
Yeah.
There's been all this stuff that's been going on, and then Brenda doesn't close a cabinet all the way, and that sets me off.
Right.
Well, it's not about the cabinet. It's because I've got all this other turmoil
this
going on in me.
Building up. Yeah.
And if you can get through that, then and able to talk through all that, and calmly, and sometimes we've had to kind of say, Brenda says this to me more often, I can't talk to you about this right now because you're not willing to listen to me. And she's right.
Wow, she's wise.
Oh,
that is wisdom.
No, I'm telling you, she is. And so she just waits.
That is
for a little while, and then we can
Leslie,
bring it
hope
back.
You're listening.
Then we can bring bring it back up. Now, don't do that.
What?
You're
what just, are you talking about?
You're supposed to learn for yourself, dumb.
I know.
Like you can't. Because that's actually a big thing. Like you need. I remember early on, and I still do this. And I need anytime I hear a message that I'm like, I always put it to the other person.
Right.
It's never like, Lord, thank you. That is what I needed to hear.
Yes.
I immediately go, God, Chrissy needs to hear this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
She needs to hear this message so she can change her stupid heart.
I call it our shovel of conviction.
Dude!
Because we take the truth and we get a big old scoop of it in our shovel and we go, oh, Dex needs to hear this. And we
Boom!
Throw it over on him.
Yeah,
Steve-O needs to hear this.
Full on.
Right. Yeah. Not at all saying, Lord, that's something I needed to hear.
Yeah. Oh, I don't need to work on anything.
Or I'll even go, I needed to hear that, but Steve-O needs it more than me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I need a little, but I'm going to help Steve-O be
We're
better.
Really good deflectors.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Live line's blowing up. Somebody said a huge thing that's been helpful for us is understanding how introverts and extroverts think and recharge.
Oh, great.
Because Chrissy and I are complete opposites.
That's
Leslie,
very important.
Same
when it comes
thing.
To anything, not just fighting, but just, I mean, anything, the way we recharge, the way we, and so, yeah. Somebody chimed in and said, Pastor Todd always says, don't fight to win, fight for each other.
Mm. Oh,
That's good.
That's good.
And very simply, someone said, do not forget about the toilet paper roll in marriage.
Over the top.
Over the top.
That's biblical.
Those little things are huge.
It really is. And we tease about that. Those of us who've been married a long time, we tease about that. But those can be big, huge issues.
Yeah. Somebody just chimed in and said, my wife squeezes a toothpaste in the middle of the tube and it drives me insane. Who does that?
Yeah.
So
people who don't know how to go from the beginning to the end, that's who squeezes in the middle. Sorry.
People that get upset over stupid stuff like that should be locked up in prison.
What? Did I say that?
My mic on? Well, Dex, it's been nice knowing
it's
you.
My mic on.
Is your... Testing. Is this thing on?
One thing I got at the very beginning, Joey Belleville, my dear friend Joey. It's the one thing that I always tried to remember that I didn't listen to. Scripture tells you, don't ever let the sun go down on your anger.
Exactly.
Don't ever let the sun go down on it. Don't go to bed angry.
Right.
I don't care if you're up till 2 o'clock in the morning, which really, really stinks as a guy who has to be in bed because I have to get up
at
3:30 in the morning.
Oh, dark 30.
Dude, it's hard, but I just know it's either like, well, I'm just going to have to swallow this and shut it down.
Okay,
like, it is never okay to go to bed
in
angry.
That situation, is it okay to say, let's stop, we're putting the brakes on, we're going to go to bed,
no,
we're going to finish this tomorrow?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because here's for me, personally.
Okay.
For me, if I can just either go to bed and just wake up tomorrow, I will feel like a completely different person
because
in the morning.
You need some
rest.
And
I usually will feel like I'm such a jerkhead.
Yeah.
And I need to resolve this or whatever. I'm over it. Just give me a couple hours to get over it and I'll be fine. You know, I don't feel like we should talk about it right now.
Yeah.
So there's been times when I look back going, when I've gone to bed and we still haven't resolved it, the next day it seems like we resolve it.
And I think there's a difference between unresolved and anger.
Yep.
There can be. So I think if both the husband and the wife can agree, okay, we're not mad at each other anymore, but this is an issue that we still need to kind of work through.
Pump the brakes. I love you. Let's go to bed.
We need to – we're friends again. I believe in us. This is us, and we're going to – and I'm fighting for us. Yeah. I'm not fighting for me to win. See, I'm fighting for us.
I've missed all of that. That's the thing I never do.
The hard part, though, is – and here's something – I have a hard time with what you're saying because I agree and I hear, but I know for me.
But you're not wired that way.
I'm not wired that way because what I will do then is if we're going to pump the brakes on this and I'm going to go to sleep, then the next morning I don't even want to think about it.
See, that's where
but
my
it's
wife's
still saying. Unresolved.
Yeah.
Because in my heart I'm still stewing and I'm frustrated because we didn't resolve it.
Right.
But then my spouse is like, oh, well, I went to bed and I don't even think about it anymore. And I don't know why she's Kermit the Frog, but maybe it's because I grew up
well there.
I loved the Muppets growing up, so maybe that's it.
Woman!
But do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think you have to find to find a balance because selfishly, it'd be great to just like, you know, figure it all out right now. And I get that sometimes that's not going to happen because there's some big, sometimes there's going to be bigger fights than others.
Yeah.
However, you still have to work it out. It has to be resolved, and
that's
all comes down to
me because
communication.
My wife wants to resolve it.
Yeah,
and I'm being selfish, and I'm saying no. Let's go to bed.
I don't mean to call you out
because
I didn't.
No,
but
no,
that's
no.
exactly
but you're,
what
you're
I'm
right because
do you
my,
know what I mean?
My wife, when the next day, my wife is probably even more bitter. She's probably even more
she went
angry
to bed
at me.
Angry.
She's
yeah.
been stewing on it, and me, I just go right to sleep.
Yeah.
And
it's,
just want to resolve
you
it in
and
the
Chrissy.
Morning.
Dude, we're doing wife swap. We already talked about this.
I heard that the
we're
going
to do this on the
oh my gosh.
It's going to be great because then I'm not going to have to do anything. I'm just going to party all the time.
Chrissy and I are going to we're going to love
they're
going to
Netflix all the time and just watch dumb TV and it's going to be so great.
I'm just so grateful that my wife is so incredibly patient and gracious and
oh
my gosh. I ask her all the time, how in the world, aside from the grace of God, did I end up with you in my life?
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't believe it. I can't believe she still likes me. I can't believe she likes me in the first place. Because I'm around me all the time, and I don't like me. And she's just around me, you know, at times. She's not around me as much as I'm around myself. So that's just funny.
Oh, good for you.
Dude, that was rich.
That's what every man was thinking.
Oh, man.
I love you, Leslie. When we come back, we actually got a handwritten letter.
Look at this. These are actually
somebody
words on the paper.
That's so
a letter.
Cool.
Somebody mailed us a letter.
Totally old school, bro.
I mean, we do say we got letters, and I was giving you a hard time saying, this isn't a letter.
That's
we
true.
Got a letter.
We got a letter.
I
love
great.
It. So we're going to tackle that, and we got a lot more to do. We got slow motion theater. It's Friday. We'll be right back.
Time anomaly detected. Hey, guess what?
Time to turn our clocks forward.
Sunday, spring your clocks forward an hour.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, says he'll provide technology companies with access to CIA hacking tools that will allow them to fix software vulnerabilities.
The Houston Texans trade quarterback Brock Osweiler to Cleveland. The Chicago Bears sign Mike Glennon as their new quarterback. He was with Tampa.
President Trump has offered the job of ambassador to Russia to John Huntsman.
Hawaii is the first state to sue the Trump administration over its revised executive order on immigration.
The Department of Homeland Security says there have been fewer illegal crossings of the southern border in the week since Trump took office.
Technology being tested in D.C. The delivery service Postmate is using six-wheeled robots that are about knee-high to get takeout food to customers. A human is tagging along for now, but eventually the robots will be out there on their own.
Scott Pruitt, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, says he does not agree that carbon dioxide is the main driver of climate change.
Radio Shack's announcement, it's filing for bankruptcy for the second time in less than 2 years.
The chain is facing a challenging retail environment, and a partnership with wireless provider Sprint has not worked out.
More Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week, but claims still low enough to suggest most workers enjoying job security. There was a 20,000 uptick to a seasonally adjusted 243,000.
Good morning, 8:37.
Man, I can't even.
Sorry.
Whew, high today.
Here's a tissue.
76 degrees.
Yeah, we're talking about This Is Us. And,
oh man.
Oh, it is such a great, sad, joyful.
That is the best.
Beautiful.
Show.
It is well written. It is well so acted. And you know what? I have a theory, and I'm probably not. This theory is not original with me, but I think that it's not the Brady Bunch. And it's not overly dramatic and soap opera-ish. It is probably the greatest representation as far as an hour-long drama can be of real life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right.
I think it's that well written, yeah. And I think that's why so many people are resonating with it. Because We're like, he's a great dad. He made a mistake. He's a good dad.
He's a great husband. He totally blows it.
And then he comes back, and it's like a not a reality show, but it shows more. It's more genuine, I think. That's probably a better way.
What's interesting are a few of the actors on that show are believers.
Oh,
like
I didn't know that.
Sterling Brown, he plays Randall.
Oh yeah,
he's a Christian. Oh, he's very outspoken too.
Good.
His wife, she was on. You know, Susan, she was on the show.
I didn't get to hear
that.
She's
a believer.
To. Yeah.
And so it's really cool because that's why there's so much passion behind it because it's like they want to tell this story and
it's well done.
Yeah,
the latest episode was great.
Don't.
I love my father. I love him well.
I took us away from traffic. I'm sorry. And now a bunch of people are going to be crying because of what you're playing.
Yeah, sorry. Can we just as soon as this catches up, I'll be able to tell you.
Tear-induced accidents.
There's an accident. The right lane is blocked. I-40 West at Wyoming. If you know anybody that lives in that area, run to the accident to make sure they're okay.
Because this is
because
us.
Because life is so short.
This is us.
Oh, man.
I-40 West. That's real. That's real. Also, an accident reported Paseo del Norte at Eagle Ranch. There's some road construction Indian School between Louisiana and America Parkways. But again, two major accidents. Right lane blocked I-40 West at Wyoming and up on the west side, Paseo and Eagle Ranch. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Oh, man. 585 Live. You can text into the show, 585-5483. Or you can call us, 338-3700. We love it when you chime in, be a part of the show. That's what's great about it.
It's good stuff.
So good, guys.
Yeah.
Just like this right here.
The Morning Invasion.
One of my favorite
brings
parts.
You Slow Motion Theater.
Man, I don't even know where to start because we have so many clips.
We had so many requests this week. Guys, if there's ever a moment of the show that you're just like in tears and you would love to hear that in slow motion, send it to us. We get requests now regularly.
That's
on the live
so
line.
So fun.
You can text us at 585-LIVE, 585-5483.
It helps me out a lot because, you know, I hate having to
try to find one.
Yeah, just trying to think back. What did we do? What could I slow-mo? So it helps a lot when you guys
Heck yeah, man.
We did one last week that I thought about. I thought of mentioning it to you, but I can't think of what it was now. Man. I just remember after Friday's show last week, I was like, oh, dude, that'd be a great song.
Well, maybe I have a clip.
Oh, when I had, when Steve-O didn't get back and I went and did tried to do traffic and all that, that'd be a great slow motion.
Oh, man. Let me write this down.
Sorry.
Let me start our first clip here. This is somebody requested the Tron moment. We've slowed this down half speed.
Somebody said Tron was great. Dex, hang up on yourself. Yes. Forever hang up on yourself. Tron Legacy was fantastic. Nope. Are you serious right now? You're being serious?
I
can't tell if you're joking. You better be joking.
I swear I didn't
hope you're just playing opposites, and when we get off the... Why is it you're so hard go. To...
No, I'm just kidding.
I swear to you.
I loved Tron.
I did not like it. That kills me.
I did not like
that it. That is seriously... I've seen that movie 100 times.
Really?
It is one of my faves.
It's not a great movie.
Gosh, this is just ridiculous, guys. We are ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm still mad about that.
I know you are. Did you see the new Tron?
I didn't see the new one. I saw the original.
You need to watch it and tell Tron me if Legacy. It's the greatest movie of all time.
No. Okay. It's fantastic is what I said. It's a phenomenal movie.
No, you're like, Bridges, it's the greatest movie ever.
I never said it was the greatest movie ever.
You did. You guys should
it's
never.
It's incredible.
You should never walk out of the studio mad.
Oh, we do all
That's
the time.
True.
That's when I knew our relationship was over. I just started writing a
Tron
list.
Legacy. I've heard it's good. I've heard it's really good.
It was, man, I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to give it a shot.
I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it.
We talked about exploding homes. I pulled up on YouTube.
Oh, man.
Homes that had gas leaks and exploded.
He wanted to know if it's real, like in real life, if that's a thing or if that's just in the movies.
Well, I knew it was real, but, you know, in the movies, they always make the explosions
like huge.
I was wondering, you know, if somebody actually left the gas on and you...
Would their house explode?
Lit a cigarette. Would the place just blow up?
Yeah.
Well, we found out.
We're watching a camera, a dash cam. Oh my gosh! That's worse than the movies! There's nothing left of that house! Did that really just happen?
Oh man.
Damn, boy. You. Did you see that?
I think my favorite part about you is rather than like Google a news source or some scientific anything, you go and look for YouTube videos of a house.
All right, here's a dash cam. Someone's up.
Dude!
Crazy.
No, that was. Yeah, okay. We're idiots.
Oh my gosh, we are so stupid.
I listen to us and I go, how do we have jobs?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, they took our billboards down. I truly believe we're getting fired.
We're not getting fired. It's Easter. They got to promote the Easter.
Whatever.
Sunrise service is coming, yo. And we're going to be a part of that.
Yeah, we're getting fired.
No, we
aren't. Sam, I don't know if you heard yesterday's show, but we had Shannon on. Did you hear Shannon yesterday?
I heard parts of it.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to think of the time.
Oh, she
was on the whole show.
Like from about 8:45, 8:40 to 9. Yeah, but I mean, that's just the part that I heard because I was driving to the to work.
She was old co-host there on the on the Buck and Beck show.
She was killing me.
Yeah.
Oh, she is so funny.
We've never gotten so much feedback on the show.
Oh, she
ever.
Was hilarious.
Yeah, people want us fired. They just want Shannon.
They just want Shannon. Like everybody. I was like, okay. Except for one dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are trying to get hire Shannon to trend.
Yeah, seriously.
On
that's
Facebook
not even a joke.
Gee whiz.
We don't have money, guys, for another person.
Well, that's so funny. We used to have three.
Yeah, but we used all that for our billboard.
Oh, that's true. So I thought we'd slow Shannon down because Shannon already is upbeat and full of energy, and she decides to come in because she's so nervous and do a shot of espresso right there. That's her espresso. And she bought a 3-shot espresso drink at the store.
So she was amped
on
caffeine.
4 shots of espresso.
Oh my gosh. So I'm thinking, what would it sound like to slow her down? Because she was talking like she
100
was
100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
disgusting.
Yeah. So, did you finish
but
it?
I kept drinking it because I was so nervous about coming to the radio, thinking that the jitters would make it any better. So if you're looking at the webcam and I'm just jumping, I promise I don't do drugs. I'm on espresso.
She sounds normal.
She does but sound you, normal.
She just sounds
you
normal.
Are on
did
drugs you just right say now.
Espresso? Espresso. Spell it. I failed the spelling all the time in middle school. There's not middle no school. X. I should say elementary. I should say middle school. Because who does? Okay, let's go to the next subject.
Gosh.
Shannon, she is out of control. Man,
she is.
That's funny.
Yeah.
If you missed that show yesterday, hit the podcast.
She just was know you'll need a nap after.
She was like one of the co-hosts.
Yeah.
Previously.
Yeah. She for a couple years she was our female on the show.
Oh, okay.
And she was so much fun.
Yeah.
But just
she sounded like it,
dude.
Yeah. She's
full
of energy.
I slept for like 5 hours. We talked about this yesterday.
Because you
like,
laughed
we
so hard.
Laughed. It was the funniest show. And then I went home and I was just like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
She's at an 11, like,
yeah,
all the time.
My wife and I, we hang out with their family quite a bit because they have kids that are our age.
Yeah, I heard her say that she and Leslie are besties.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to tell you, there is nobody like Shannon out there. She is one of those people that just makes you feel good because she just is fun to be around.
Yeah.
She's always has a great attitude and just wants everybody to be happy and she encourages you. And
that's cool.
She's great, man.
I heard the part where you guys had your date, you know, where you guys were going to go to their house and you went ahead and cooked. And 2 hours later, Leslie comes and she's sitting at the table
in, we're like,
with her kids.
Yeah, we're like, oh my gosh, we're on a date.
That's that was one of the funniest things. Yeah.
Let's see. We called my dad last week for his birthday. Or I guess we called him this week. Was it this week we called him?
Yeah, dude. It's
Friday.
Slow motion theater for the week of, which, by the way, we already have requests.
Okay.
The Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, man.
100 foot. One. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my dad wasn't feeling very well. He had a cold.
I got a cold.
Oh, my gosh. See, this is what happens, Dad.
We called my mom on her birthday, and she had a cold, remember?
I know.
That's weird.
I guess. Get old, you get sick a lot, Dad.
She gets to me.
Wait.
What? Mom gave it to me.
Oh, my mom.
I'm like, I gotta call my mom.
Steve, oh, you're talking about another mom. Yeah.
My dad, he is so funny.
You're talking about another mom.
He sounded like he was 120 years old.
He did.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. Really funny. He's your age. 72. Oh, wow.
He's young.
The Morning Invasion brings you...
That was awesome.
Slow motion theater.
Well played, sir.
Well played. Like we said, it's always better when you guys tell us what we should slow-mo.
Yeah, yeah. Already got a request for the 100-foot argument with Kong.
Okay, I got that written down.
Somebody else chimed in. They just wanted to thank us for the interview with Susan because they had actually never heard of the show This Is Us.
Oh.
And then they heard our interview, and now they are caught up and totally in love with the show. They've been crying along with it ever since.
I don't know how you could not be hooked on that show. If you sat down and actually watched it, I think everybody would be just hooked.
I actually know a human that hates that show. Yeah,
they've actually watched every episode? Or?
No, just the first episode.
See, you can't just watch
one. And it was like, nope, whatever. The first episode, from the very first episode, you remember, I came in here.
That's true.
I tweeted the show like right after I watched the pilot.
You're right.
Like that night and said, best show. I'm calling it right now.
I take that
This
back.
Is
You're
us.
Right.
Yeah. This is going to be the greatest show of all time. And sure enough,
it had the greatest hook of all time to grab you.
Dude, it... Oh, man. Now I'm going to go back so I can be that hipster dude and be like, this is what my tweet said for the very first episode because I've been a fan. But I watched it with Chrissy and she was like, pass! And I'm like, you have no soul. She's been married to me for almost 15 years, so that can take it a lot out of you.
I don't know, man. I really... Honestly, you should really look at that situation with Chrissy because
get her to a doctor.
If anybody
or something.
Doesn't cry during that show, they might not have a soul.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Their heart might not be beating.
So you guys understand.
They might be dead.
All right.
just saying.
I don't know.
Man.
There's no heart there.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, yeah. I don't want
to. You should probably go to therapy. just kidding.
Man, I can't wait to sleep on your couch tonight. It's going to be so great, dude. You can look.
Oh, my couch is super uncomfortable, so good luck. Yeah. Well, probably go to Sam's.
I've got one, yeah.
Yeah, mine's terrible.
I don't live too far from Dick's. We don't know where each other lives, but we know we don't live too far from each other. Right?
I'll pick you up in the morning, buddy.
There you go.
Worked out.
585 Live, you guys can chime into the show. Yeah, so coming up, we'll wait 9 o'clock hour to deal with the handwritten letter that we received.
Yeah.
Somebody actually wrote us a letter on paper.
Like a weird, like I didn't even know what to do with it at first because it was like, wait, do I read this? Like, what do you,
it was,
what do you do?
I haven't seen one of those in like 30 years, man. Mm. It's been a long time since I've seen a letter.
That's how we used to communicate long distance.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Before we had the telegraph.
Steve and I were talking the other day about cassette or CDs. You know, how many years until CDs are completely gone, like cassettes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Steve doesn't have a CD player in his car. Yeah. They don't even put them in cars
anymore. Bought a new car, man.
Yeah. That blows my mind.
Yeah, I have a 2017.
Yeah,
I have a 2016.
Does it have a CD player?
It has a CD player.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I found a tweet that dates back to September 20th, 2016.
Well, let's hear it, Steve.
NBC, This Is Us. Brilliant. So stoked on this brand new show. # all the feels.
All the feels.
Oh.
That's the very first episode.
That's funny.
What an encouraging thing to say to the cast of This Is Us.
I just want to get that out there.
You are such a hipster.
I am.
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes you can be.
Dude, whatever. I'm proud to rock that show. That show is so good.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I know I follow you on Instagram. I need to start following you on Twitter.
Don't. I'm terrible at Twitter.
Oh, really?
It's 80% of it is like, shout out to this actor that we just had on, or hey, we're going to have this. But on the flip side, if you want to know like who we're interviewing, that's usually how I get that out there.
Yeah.
So it's at Steve O'Jeets, and that's, So it's mostly tweeting, tweeting with the celebrities that we have on the show.
I don't want to drop names, but I will if I have to.
Yeah. So
Before we go to break, I would like to share this story. This is a pretty unbelievable story, and I feel like if you're listening right now, I would hope that most of us, if we had the money to do something like this, I would hope that most of us would help out in this situation, like this person did. This is a really cool story that I stumbled upon this morning. It's not clear where this happened at, but there was a guy. He was flying with his 2-year-old daughter and didn't have a ticket for her. I guess when he booked his flight a few months ago, she hadn't turned 2 yet, so he thought she could just sit on his lap, and she didn't need her own seat. But she turned 2 in January, and so he gets to the airport. They told him, "Well, she needs a ticket. She can't fly."
Oh man, day of ticket.
Day of.
Oh
yeah, $750.
Oh my gosh,
ticket $750.
Oh, I just threw up a little in my mouth. Well, I couldn't imagine.
What do you do at that point?
You're at the airport.
Yeah, he knew he couldn't afford to buy the ticket or rebook the flight.
Oh, dude.
So he got pretty emotional. He stepped out of line and started making some phone calls. Stranger stepped up to help.
Oh, man.
The woman in line behind him heard the whole thing. She walked to him. I'm breaking up right now. She walked up to him and they started talking. Then she went back to the counter and she said, "I'm going to pay for it." She hasn't come forward, so we don't know her name, but a photo of her paying for the ticket started trending on Facebook yesterday. He tried to get her contact information to pay her back, but she hugged him and said, "Don't worry about it."
Oh, my gosh.
I got it.
Wow.
See, and that's why...
$750.
Yeah, $750. You know what? I got this. I mean, that's why, we talk about Dave Ramsey all the time, and, he talks about being financially... able to do things like that, to see somebody in need and be able to reach out and take care of it.
I'm so glad that you told this story because it reminded me of something that happened to me literally yesterday that was like, I have to talk about this on the show. I was with Jack, 13. We're in line at Walmart yesterday and it's like taking forever for some reason. And like, we were in line for a very long time. We're just buying steak seasoning. Like, literally, that's it. It was like, oh, I'm out of seasoning. Let's go do this for the steaks tonight. So we're in line. We're waiting. It's like, what's taking so long? So we finally look up, and there was a gentleman at the counter. And he's, like, pulling money out. And he's, like,
talking, and it didn't look like they were in an argument, but he was trying to buy a pack of smokes, and his card wasn't working, and there was like something was going on, and finally the lady behind him stepped up and said, "How much is it?" And she ended up buying him this like carton of cigarettes.
Wow.
I'm not even joking. Not being funny. And I'm standing there and I'm like, she just bought this dude
a carton of cigarettes.
That is so funny.
I'm serious. So I'm looking at Jack because Jack was like, "Well, what's happening?" And I'm like, "I don't know.
Oh,
I think there's
gosh.
I don't know if there's an altercation, but like something was going on. He didn't have enough money. I don't even know if he had his ID, but he was an older gentleman. He looked pretty nomadic, if you will. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
He, just a roamer. Like, I don't know. And I'm in line, and the lady behind, seriously, she just pulls out cash and she's like, "I got it." And she buys him a carton of smokes. And I'm going, is that a good Samaritan thing that was just done?
I know, right? That is, yeah.
Because if I were in that situation, which I was just like four people behind, so I didn't know what was happening. You step up in that moment.
No!
Dude, who step? A carton
absolutely
of smokes.
Not.
Well, and so is it a convenience thing?
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Was she doing it out of kindness? Because
if she was a smoker,
then it was kindness.
She wasn't a smoker.
How do you know?
Because she didn't buy smokes.
Well, maybe she already had her carton.
I mean, maybe.
Man.
But I seriously, it was this conundrum, and I looked over at Jack, and it was like, so what was just like,
that's, that's a good question.
Because the question became, and we had a good conversation on it. I would love to ask this army.
All right, let's do that. Let's take a break, come back with that. That's good. I've never been in that situation before.
Dude, what do you do?
585 Live. We'll be right back. Danny Gokey, The Comeback. It's Star 88. Hello, Dex and Steve-O. Thanks for joining us. 904.
High today of 76 degrees.
Sam's here as well.
Traffic.
Sam Swan.
Let's see, taking a look at the roads because there's been some accidents this morning. Of course, our computers are from 1987, so going to take a minute for it to actually load properly. It looks like the accident Paseo at Eagle Ranch is still in the cleanup stages, so it's slow going there for now. Other than that, no new accidents to report at this time. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
So we were, I was sharing the story about this this dad who had his two-year-old at the airport. He bought a ticket a few months ago, so just one ticket. He figured, well, his daughter's one at the time he bought the ticket and didn't need to buy a ticket for her. So he gets to the airport, finds out, no, she just turned two. So it would cost $750 to buy another ticket for his daughter. Somebody that was hearing what was happening was in line, stepped up and bought the ticket for this dad so his two-year-old could get on the plane. And Steve-O, this is great, because Steve-O said,
I was in this situation.
I was in this situation.
I mean, not to this extent.
No,
that's
this
crazy.
Is great. It was the same situation. $750
plane ticket,
man,
is amazing.
It's crazy. Crazy.
But here's the thing. Yesterday, I was in line at the old Walmarts with my son and just the two of us, and it was taking forever. Like, seriously, we weren't moving. It's not like, oh, it was a really long line. Like, yeah, we just weren't moving, but I was talking with Jack, and I wasn't paying attention, so finally I was like, wait, we haven't moved. And I looked up, and there was a gentleman at the register who looked, he looked pretty rugged, man. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, he looked like he was probably out front, like, securing enough money for his purchase so that he could make said purchase. And he was talking to the lady, and he was trying to get some cigarettes. And for those that don't smoke, I mean, there's like a pack, and then you can buy something called a carton.
Hmm.
And it's a bunch of packs of cigarettes,
does it
right?
Cost you like $50?
Right?
It's
like, I don't know. It's probably,
now.
Yeah.
It's
nowadays,
$5-$6
because
a pack.
Taxes.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Like $6-$7 a pack of smokes or something. So it's like, what, like 10 packs? Is that what you said? Five, ten packs?
Something I can't
like
remember
that.
How much.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, a lot of money and a lot of cigarettes. He was trying to get them, and he was having trouble. I couldn't see what was happening exactly, so either his card wasn't working or he didn't have enough cash because he was rummaging through. And finally, the lady behind him was like, hey, I got you, man. Let me do this for you. I would like to offer you the free gift of cancer.
Yeah, basically.
I want to do this for you. Via con Dios.
Yeah.
So she bought him the cigarettes.
Yeah.
And Jack and I were kind of standing there, and I was like, was that nice? Like, and I don't mean to belittle, because she very much so did a nice thing.
Absolutely.
She absolutely did. That was very, very kind.
Well.
And the funny thing was, when I pick up Jack at school on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and a couple days ago, when I picked him up, we were in crazy traffic over by where he goes to school by UNM, and it's just chaos with all, you know, and there was a guy on the corner, and I'm like, you know what? I've got some cash. So I was rummaging through, and I'm like, Jack, what do you think? $5? And he's like, that would be awesome. So we gave the guy $5. So that happened. And then yesterday we see this, and I'm thinking, okay, wait. Was what she just did kind? Because she bought the dude cigarettes, which are going to help kill him.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between that and like handing somebody $5 on the street, not knowing what they're going to spend it on? Because chances are,
there's not much of a difference, but there is. Because
is there?
After you've given that money, it's their choice. They have a choice whether they're going to use it for food.
So you're saying the saint at Walmart was no saint because she helped him get cancer?
I'm not buying that. I don't think that's a kind deed.
No? If they were like, I just can't.
No.
I feel like I would have cracked it. Like, I was 4 or 5 people behind him. I almost feel like I would have been like, maybe that's the Lord telling you something.
See, I don't think that's a kind thing that person did. I mean, if she was a smoker, and I can understand.
Just didn't think about it. Or...
But I bet you anything that lady probably got in her car after doing something like that and thought about it, and she probably was,
She was with, you know, it was like her and some kids, you know, and so maybe we were standing in there for a while.
Maybe
like
she just wanted it
he
to
was right.
Him
so
to
it's
just
like,
go,
oh, we need this.
Let me pay for it. But why wouldn't she buy a carton? Why wouldn't she just buy a pack?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, she probably did think it was a kind thing to do.
Right. It was like, I'm helping this person out.
Yeah.
Cancer,
yeah.
But seriously, like, I was stumped. Like, if I had been the person right in front, if I was that person, would I, for convenience or to help them or whatever, would I pay for their stuff?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
My mother-in-law smokes. And for a long time, she would ask me to go buy her smokes. No way. I'm not gonna contribute to you killing yourself, because that's what you're doing. You are killing yourself. You're shaving years off your life, and I'm not gonna be a part of that.
I was in a situation, not the same, but I'm you know what? We're weird. We're us. I'm gonna talk about it. It's the morning invasion.
This is us.
Children might want to tune out. I mean, or your parents are gonna have to have a fun conversation with you. I was in line once at like a Walmart or somewhere, and I was directly behind a couple kids, in my opinion. They were like, seriously, 14 maybe, a boy and a girl, and they were trying to buy condoms. And for some reason, the cash register girl, like, she just wasn't having it. Like, I didn't even have to step in, because she was just like, no, where are your parents?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
she took control.
She seriously was not about, I don't know if there, I didn't even know you have to be a certain age. I don't even know if you have to be a certain age, or if this cashier was just like, no, you're children.
Yeah.
And they looked at me and they were like, hey, like, will you help me? Mm-hmm. You know? And I was like, I'm no, yeah. I cannot, will not contribute to 12-year-olds making
great.
Babies. Yeah. I mean, granted, you're trying.
Yeah.
Because, but then in my brain, I had this like,
oh, yeah.
Well, but I mean,
what if they go and have
what
sex?
What if they go and do it anyways?
Because yeah.
they're kids and they're going to. And now there's going to be a 12-year-old with a baby. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
But I would not. Yeah. I did not.
It goes back to that choice that everybody has. They have the choice that they're going to have to make. You would be helping them make that choice. I mean, it's a safer choice.
Yeah.
But you don't want any hand in that.
Dude.
You don't want to be a part of that.
Man, we have so many people chiming in right now. Somebody said I was trying to give cigarettes to a homeless guy, and some balding guy in CrossFit clothes kept yelling at me.
What?
Dex, were you yelling at the person?
Some balding guy?
That's just wrong.
Somebody else said, in a related story, later on that day, the cashier was fired because you can't do that. Yeah. Which they did. And I just stood there. I was like, I don't know. I was so uncomfortable. Because for real, they seriously, to me, I mean, they looked like they were 10, but they were probably, you know, even if they were 15, 16, they looked like kids.
Yeah.
They looked like kids, man. And it was just like, I'm sorry. I can't. Wow. No. So, somebody else said, my husband and I are nurses. We own an assisted living facility for the elderly. And we have a resident that smokes. And we actually sometimes have to pay for the cartons when her daughter forgets. Is that bad? Or should we just let her go through nicotine withdrawals? Oh, Pastor.
You've already heard what I think. I say, no, that's bad.
You say, don't buy them?
No, you don't buy them for them.
It's so hard, right? Because I was standing there.
You're a heroin addict. Do you go buy heroin for your daughter or your son?
Well, first of all,
so they don't go through withdrawals?
Heroin's illegal.
No, but we're talking about something serious. There's parents that do
a little different. You just took it to like the nth degree.
Okay,
like,
but you just, cigarettes are bad,
of course they are. They are really bad. Trust me, I know. They're
horrible. Just because they're legal doesn't mean that they're just as, I mean, they're terrible for you.
Yeah.
So I think it is absolutely wrong to help out in a situation
but
like
you
that.
But you could be contributing. We've had this conversation before. We talk about this regularly. You see the guy in the corner. He's got the brown paper bag. It's like, seriously, not even stereotyping, because unfortunately the homeless population here in Albuquerque is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So you see it so regularly, yeah. Especially, you know, leading worship down at Knob Hill. In that area, you see the homeless regularly, and you get hit up constantly on Central.
That's why I don't get
it's
to them.
Not just the families, because a lot of times you'll see the guy who like lost the job and the family, and they're at the rescue mission or they're somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the dude that reeks at 9 a.m. in the morning. Like, how do you give that guy $5?
No, I don't give them cash. If I give them anything, it'll be food. Sometimes years ago we used to put together these little bags for the homeless, and they would have a bottle of water, like an apple, some snacks in there. And, you know, just like a little thing that said, hey, we're praying for you and God loves you, you know? And we would, as we were driving by, we'd chuck them at them and hit them in the head. And it worked every time.
Man. Gosh.
But I don't
send your emails to the studio.
Yeah.
I don't give my money cash to them. I give it to like the rescue mission. I want to give it to organizations that actually
ABQ heading home.
Yeah. Like, help the homeless get off the streets, help with their addictions.
Yeah.
I've done that a handful of times too, where somebody will say, you know, I'm coming out of a store. Oh, actually, one time I was on the road and I was hungry, super hungry. And so I couldn't think of anything in TRC. And so I just went through, stopped to go to the bathroom, and I got a cheeseburger from McDonald's. And I was walking out with my cheeseburger and my tea or whatever it was I got. And this guy met me right outside the door, and he goes, hey, can you give me some money for some food? And I said, I'll tell you what, I will not give you money, but I will give you this food. And I handed him that bag with the cheeseburger and the tea.
I think that's great.
And then I went back in and bought myself another one. But because I told him, I said, I don't want to give you money, but I'll give you food.
Right.
I'm more than willing to give you food. Mm-hmm. And so I did that.
Same with gas. When people get the gas tank and people come up, hey, man, I need money for gas. Yeah. All right, pull your car up and I'll
help.
I'll put gas in. I'm not going to give you cash.
That's kind of messed up. Bro. I had what if their car broke down like a block
sorry,
away?
Man. Well, I had a guy. I'll put gas in for
I had a guy. His car was at the gas station. He's parked like against the curb away from the last row of pumps.
Yeah.
So he's like 30 feet from the pumps. We'd have to get his car over there. And he said, can you give me some money for gas? And I said, well, just get your car over here. He goes, well, I don't have enough gas to get it over there. Can you just give me the cash? And I went, no.
Yeah.
If you can get your car here.
Yeah.
I'll even help you push it. No, it's okay.
See, it's a scam, man.
Yeah,
it's a scam.
Sometimes it is. And one time we were traveling cross country, and this guy, and I think it was Louisiana, he's in there. I've already filled up my tank, and I'm going in to pay. This is back in the day where you could go in and pay if you didn't want to pay at the machine. And so I went in to do my card, and the guy's in there, and he's got this silver dollar. And he's trying to tell the clerk, no, this is really worth $20. It's a silver dollar, and it's rare.
Oh, gosh.
It's rare. And I'm kind of watching what's going on. The clerk is going, dude, I can't give you gas for a dollar for that. He said, it may be worth it. He said, I'm not doubting you, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so I watched this for a couple of minutes. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll buy you some gas. And he goes, well, I'll give you the coin. And I'm like, well, we'll
trade
see.
You.
So we walk outside, and I put like, I don't know, $20 worth of gas in his car. I didn't fill it up, but I put $20 worth of gas in his car. And then he goes, here, do you want the coin? I said, keep your coin, dude. You might need it for something else.
Yeah.
I'm more than willing to give you some guests.
Yeah. See, I think that's it. You're helping that person with yep. that instead of just handing money.
And that's so what he wanted was guests. Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing, if that's what they want. But that's why I was like in such a state of flux yesterday, watching the person
totally
go,
different.
You need smokes, man? Yeah. I got you, dog. And I'm just like, no!
Here's a carton. You want a pack?
And
I
this
got
is
you
coming from someone, I smoked for like a decade. So I was myself a smoker. In fact, that was my wedding gift to my wife. And like that was it. It was like on our wedding day. That's it, man. So I haven't had a single cigarette since 2002.
Good you know, for you.
It's been a minute, and so I get it. Yes, nicotine withdrawals. Yeah. They are
it's,
no bueno.
It's hard.
But dude, come on. Somebody said I buy granola bars and packs of Gatorade, keep them in my car to give to the homeless. Money is the last thing I will give, but they're willing to give something.
Absolutely.
Somebody said I was homeless. Now I work for a ministry. Definitely buy food and hang out for a minute. Also, donating to the ministries is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Another person said, a couple times I had two different guys ask me for money, said they were hungry, so I went and bought them food, and as I was driving away, I saw them throw the food away.
Been in that situation. I bought a pizza one time for a homeless guy, and he looked at it, and he said, I don't like this type of pizza, and threw it in the garbage in front of me.
Yeah.
I was, okay.
Yeah, somebody said my mom used to take them to McDonald's, and we would buy them food, and a lot of times they would just say, never mind.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're not really,
Yeah, and if I find if they have a story, if you're at the gas station or wherever and someone comes up and they have this long story about how they broke down.
They just need to get back to Amarillo. And that, I'm like, I'm from Amarillo. Whereabouts?
Yeah.
Oh,
we all know.
Snap. That, I don't care where they say they're from. I'm always from there, and I want to know more about that town.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know anything about it? That's weird.
I'm trying to get to my cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
And it's in California. I left Virginia a month ago, and I'm trying to get to California.
Yeah. 338-3700. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Pool boy.
What?
Pool boy.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because I've done that to somebody in front of me who was buying booze.
Okay.
You know, he was, first of all, cigarettes suck. Black and mild's the way to go. But anyway, you know, I've done it with booze, and after I did it, you know, I was doing it for my heart. I was like, you know, this guy's short. I wasn't thinking really about the booze. And then when I left, I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's using his last freaking penny.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To buy the booze. And I kind of thought about it. And I was like, that's just kind of weird, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. If you're going to do something and it's from your heart, man, all this political.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I gotta say this, pool boy, even from your heart, because I have had really, really, really good friends.
Sorry, I almost got attacked by dog.
I've had really, really well intentioned great friends give me some of the worst advice ever, but it was advice from their heart, and they thought they were doing me a favor, and it bit me in the butt multiple times because I'm like, that, you know what? They love the Lord. That's solid advice. And they weren't trying to harm me, but it was still bad. You know what I mean? So we can do things out of a place of love, and it's still wrong.
Yeah.
So,
and that reminds me, too, because when I was a kid, my dad used to buy me booze. When I was 14, 15.
Okay.
I promise you, I'm not
I know. I believe you.
And I would stand in front of liquor stores as a teenager and ask people that I thought were looking shady, and they would go buy me beer.
Yep. Yeah. I've been there. I know that life.
That's drawing the line right there, you know.
All right, pool boy. Be careful out there.
Love you too, man. See, and I've had that happen to me. I've been hit up at gas stations or at, you know, like, hey, man, can you buy me some? And I'm like, no, kid, I am not going to contribute to the delinquency of a minor because that's what it's called. And yes, you're going to get arrested.
Yeah, right.
No, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to contribute to that person's
bad.
But they
look so kind-hearted.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get lit, guys.
Okay. 585 Live, you can text in or call us at 338-3700. Steve-O was standing at line at the grocery store, saw a lady in front of him. I don't know if he was homeless, but looked like he might have been homeless. He was trying to buy cigarettes, and he didn't have enough money, so the lady behind him said, I gotcha. And instead of buying just a pack, bought him a carton of cigarettes. And we're kind of throwing it out there. Is that okay that she did that? Is that a kind gesture to buy somebody cigarettes or even liquor?
It could have just been convenience because seriously, we had been standing in that line forever.
Yeah.
But somebody just chimed in and said, see, here's the thing. I've had a lady come up to me at the pump asked me to give her a gallon because her car ran out of gas. So I gladly pumped a couple gallons into the red gas can. As I was driving around the station to leave by the other pumps, I see her boyfriend stop pumping gas and in turn use the gas I had just given them. So they were like already pumping gas and it's like, oh, here you go, babe. I got this.
Yeah, I got a couple gallons.
Like seriously, just didn't want to pay for their own gas.
Oh my.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you still did a good deed. So good
job.
Yeah,
that's a good deed.
But that still stinks because that's what, unfortunately, this is why we have become so cynical and so afraid to help, which, you know, we immediately go to the story of the Good Samaritan in scripture. And that's why it was so profound because you had the religious people, you had all just like, nope. And I'm sure they'd probably been burned before. They'd probably, but he still stopped, man, and helped his enemy.
Yeah. It's how you everything. Help. It's how you help. It is how you help because, like we're saying in all these different situations, it's you don't give them cash. It's you need help with food. You're hungry. Let's go. Let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. Let me buy you food.
How many people would have seen that Samaritan, like dying on the side of the road and said, "Yeah, but what if there's like their homies are like in the bushes just waiting to jump us and steal my car?"
It's true. Yeah, it's so true.
I can't help them. But that he just didn't have that mentality. It was like, I got to help that person.
Got to help that person, yeah.
I got to help him.
I feel like you should always have that. You should always feel like, you know what? I don't care.
You're contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
Okay. I don't care. If I see somebody that is dying on the side of the road, okay, there might be his
dying
homies
on the side of the road?
There might be his homies jumping out because it's a scam and they're going to, you know, mug you. But I'm gonna risk that because I see somebody in need that needs help. You know, there's always a risk.
Yeah. Livelines are still just going crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody actually just chimed in and said, me and my husband are separated because of alcohol addiction. I will not give money to people, period. But I'll help out with food if they ask specifically for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, somebody said I was burned a few times when trying to help a homeless person. So now I will every so often when I'm driving through a drive-thru, will pay for the car behind me and just ask the employee to tell them to pay it forward.
There you go.
People are chiming in on the cigarettes thing. Somebody said, I wouldn't pay for cigarettes. But yeah, but
if he was buying milk.
Yeah, but check this out. Somebody said, I wouldn't have paid for those cigarettes, but I definitely would have bought those condoms.
Wow. Huh.
I just couldn't do it, man. Yeah. They were like kids. And I get it, because in my brain, afterwards, I had the internal battle in my mind.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, like, there was a couple kids in front of me that were trying, and the cashier would not sell them to them. And they wanted me to buy them. And I was like, I cannot contribute to that, man. I can't help you. But then in my brain, I get in the car, and it's like, man, they're going to anyways. I was a kid.
But you don't know that.
They
might not have.
Maybe.
Why? I mean, if they're that young and they were going to do that anyway, I mean, not
that's
do
true.
That. They
you
were,
know what? That's
they
true.
Were thinking ahead and they're like, the only way we're going to do this is if we can get these and we didn't.
Right.
But which is not a guarantee, but we can't, we cannot project what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we sometimes we just beat ourselves up over something that we don't know what the outcome would be.
Yeah.
Maybe it just scared him off.
Yeah.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I just want to chime in. I grew up around homeless people. My parents ran a food pantry for pretty much my whole life. And I'm one of those people, like, I'm not going to give them money. I'll give them food or clothes or whatever they're asking for. But I think we also need to be open to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. I was at a gas station pumping gas, and a homeless person came up and asked me for some money. And I was like, nope, don't got any. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, yes, you do, because my mom had just given me $100 to pay a bill with. And I felt like God said, give him $100. I was like, that's a heck of a lot of money, and I have to pay a bill. But I felt like God said, just do it. And I gave him $100, and when I got home to sit down and do my bill to figure out how I was going to replace the $100, randomly, UNM had put $100 in my account because I overpaid on tuition.
Wow.
And so I think that was God saying, yeah, I want you to give money to this person. So I think we need to be careful not close our minds to the fact that, nope, I'm never going to give them money, because sometimes God does use that as a tool for whatever his purposes are. But we just have to use wisdom and make sure that we're listening to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, because that's ultimately God in control of whatever you're doing with that homeless person.
But wisdom tells me you could have had $200.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
That's a great point. We should always.
Yeah. And when I was debating, no, I'm not going to give him money. Yeah. At first in the Bible, where so like I was hungry and you didn't see me, I was thinking you didn't close me. That popped in my brain. I was like, how much damage for God and be like, you let money get in the way.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, God can always replace money.
It's sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More and important what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Great point about being sensitive to God's leadership and prompting us to help.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thank you for calling.
Discernment. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. What about this? Because I had somebody text me and said that I was being very judgmental because they said, you sound super judgmental. What's the difference of someone buying someone who's overweight and unhealthy? I guess what's
we'll buy cigarettes for him. But
what's the difference?
Oh my
just kidding.
What's the difference of like buying fast food or unhealthy things that are gonna contribute to heart disease? And,
no, that's true. Yeah. That's probably why people are chiming in saying I'll buy a case of Gatorade and some granola bars because they're trying to help. You know, like whether it's bottled water, whatever it is. That's very
to me.
That's
I might be wrong with this. I might be cigarettes. I would imagine seem a lot worse than buying somebody a cheeseburger.
Well, and the other thing is, if the person that has asked you for money for food is grossly overweight, then maybe you could help them. One meal isn't going to change their life as far as the habit of what they have developed in.
But it starts with one meal.
I know it does. I'm just kidding. It does. But if you're at one of those establishments, like the guy in Tier C when came out of the McDonald's. He wasn't overweight or anything.
Yeah.
He was just hungry. And so I didn't feel bad about giving him, actually there were two cheeseburgers in the bag. So I didn't feel bad about just handing him the bag.
Right.
And I just turned right around back in and got, cause I rarely stop at fast food places to eat.
Yeah.
Especially when I started running and trying to get in shape and everything. Now, if I'm really, really hungry and there's nowhere else open, I will do that because I can eat just one of those regular cheeseburgers and, you know.
Yeah.
Run it out later, but I think some of that there is some discernment in that, Dex. It's a good point.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of the same if you're contributing to the unhealth of their physical unhealth.
Would you call me judgmental?
I wouldn't say that you're judgmental.
Thank you.
I would say that you might be strongly opinionated, but I would not say that you
are. I wouldn't say it either. However, we did just get our girl Morgan from ABQ Heading Home chimed in. She said, it actually makes me sad when people are so jaded about the homeless. I would invite anybody to meet the people going through Heading Home's programs. The majority are not, quote, drunk bums trying to rip you off.
Yeah,
I mean, these are broken people who...
Yeah.
And so...
It's a great point.
Man, it's so tough because, you know, I hear that. It's funny how...
And I've even experienced that. I've had conversations. I've sat down and had conversations with people that are like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That are just in a destitute situation.
I got to spend time at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, and the people I met there were some there that were addicts, sure.
Yeah.
But the majority of them were just guys and girls that were down on their luck.
Yeah.
That just lost everything, and they were just trying to make it. Yeah. And it was eye-opening, man. It really was. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. So what you guys are talking about really reminds me of my uncle and his situation. He's kind of, I wouldn't say been completely homeless his entire life, but he was in and out of different establishments that helped the homeless and kind of bounced from one family member to the next. And he struggled with a drug addiction, and he was an alcoholic, and he did beg out on the street, even though he was better off than most homeless people. But because of his childhood, I feel like it wasn't an excuse for him to do what he did, but it definitely resulted in his actions. And I think if it wasn't for our family, I feel like helping him in hard times and helping pay for him or give him money when he needed it or anything, just being there for him as a family and loving him regardless of what he did and or what he was doing, he would have died a lot sooner than he did. He passed away in right before Thanksgiving from a drug overdose. And so it's hard to know the situations that people are in, whether you're what they're going to do with the money or if they're really going to use it for good or just give in to their addiction. But I think a lot of it for homeless people, they don't have that family that they can fall back on, knowing that they're going to be loved no matter what they do or what decision they made. And so I guess for me, it's when I see a homeless person, I think of my uncle. And, you know, like they may not have anybody.
Yeah.
And so But that kind of reminded me of what you guys were talking about.
Yeah. No, that good stuff. Thank you for chiming in. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break.
Live line is killing me right now.
You want to hit a couple before we go to break?
Well, one person had this very real question. How is it that every homeless person has a Sharpie?
Okay.
I've never even thought about that. I mean, their signs look great, man. How? How, guys?
Well.
How? See? Your money doesn't always go to bad things.
Some of them make pretty
good money.
Sometimes
it goes to Sharpies. That's a really good question I've never thought about.
All right. Hey, we got an actual handwritten letter we got to get to before we get out of here. Sam is here. This is kind of, it's a good letter to read to Sam. Somebody wrote a letter to us. So we'll read that when we come back.
Don't forget about the time warp this weekend. Set your clocks forward 1 hour.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, says he'll provide technology companies with access to CIA hacking tools that will allow them to fix software vulnerabilities.
The Houston Texans trade quarterback Brock Osweiler to Cleveland. The Chicago Bears sign Mike Glennon as their new quarterback. He was with Tampa.
President Trump has offered the job of ambassador to Russia to John Huntsman.
Hawaii is the first state to sue the Trump administration over its revised executive order on immigration.
The Department of Homeland Security says there have been fewer illegal crossings of the southern border in the week since Trump took office.
Technology being tested in D.C., the delivery service Postmate is using six-wheeled robots that are about knee-high to get takeout food to customers. A human is tagging along for now, but eventually the robots will be out there on their own.
Scott Pruitt, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, says he does not agree that carbon dioxide is the main driver of climate change.
Radio Shack's announcement, it's filing for bankruptcy for the second time in less than 2 years.
The chain is facing a challenging retail environment, and a partnership with wireless provider Sprint has not worked out.
More Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week, but claims still low enough to suggest most workers enjoying job security. There was a 20,000 uptick to a seasonally adjusted 243,000.
Hello. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Morning Invasion. 9:40.
High today of 76 degrees.
Traffic.
Well, there was an accident earlier, Paseo del Norte at Eagle Ranch. It looks like it's been cleared away mostly, but there's still some slowdown, I think, because of it. Other than that, thankfully, no other accidents to report at this time. Enjoy your Friday, everybody. Let's look at traffic.
Traffic!
Someone said on the live line, I've had a Prego lady hit me up for some cash. I felt bad not giving her any money, but about a week later, I saw her on another corner, not pregnant.
What?
I think her name was April the Giraffe.
Okay.
Oh, Dougie Doug, that's good. Good stuff.
Did April have her cat? What's a baby giraffe? A calf?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
A giraffe?
Giraffe!
Oh. A giraffe?
It's a giraffe!
April is doing great. Look at Oliver. He's got his head peeking over the cage, just looking at his beautiful bride.
I heard they went for a walk this morning together.
They went for a walk. April's eating some hay. She's still pregnant, guys. She's still just hanging out.
I'm sorry I asked.
93,000 people watching.
You did this.
That's all
look at Oliver.
Steve,
he's coming over.
Yes.
Oliver's coming. Oh, my gosh. He's giving April a kiss. He's out there. Look at how close they are.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you can't. Their heads are out of the picture.
I know, but
you
they're making
really
out
tell.
Right now. They don't want to put that on there. They're just making out.
Oh, gosh.
He's such a good husband. Look at Oliver.
They're not even married, I heard.
Yeah, they are.
Just saying.
Yep.
They're like you're contributing.
Giraffes have to get married before.
It would be scandalous otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a lot of people are trying to make, you know, this into a soap opera when it's not really. I mean, she's pregnant, guys. A lot of people saying that April's lying about this whole pregnancy.
I think she's
thing.
Lying just to keep
a lot
Oliver
of people even
close.
Saying Oliver's not the baby daddy.
I think Oliver was getting ready to go back to the homeland, and she was like, but you can't for the baby. And now he's stuck in the zoo. He was going back, and
well, man. I hope that's not the case, Steve-O.
I think it is the case. Do you trust April?
Well, I don't know her, but she seems like she's a pretty cool lady.
Uh-huh.
This is Giraffes.
Giraffes.
Yes.
Giraffes. Giraffes. Okay. What do we need to do before we get out of here? You need to do anything?
I mean, just,
oh, letter. Thank you.
Just, hold on.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
We got an actual letter.
Man, we got an actual letter. Paper and pen.
Like, I walked into the studio this morning, guys, and there was a letter on my keyboard, and I was going, somebody mailed us a letter from Berlin.
Man, how much did
that cost?
I didn't
know Berlin knew how to use the mail. Am I right? I'm just kidding. Sorry, Berlin.
Well, shout out to
send your emails to Steve-O.
No, they're going to send us a letter. It's going to take a few days.
That's right. Have time.
They still don't have the internet in Berlin. Dex and Steve-O, I have a problem about going to church. I've always called church number one my main church. I've been going to church A for a while. They love me and have helped me through hard times, and I've been able to share my love with them. A few months ago, I visited my grandparents' church. I fell in love with the second church. Church 2 has multiple services because they have so many people in attendance, it's too many to fit into their tiny space. So I found myself going to Church 1 in the morning and Church 2 in the evening. I've had the opportunity to volunteer at Church 2. I enjoy helping out, and I've made some wonderful friendships. The thing is, Church 2 found a bigger space, which means no more multiple services. Which also means I'm going to have to choose if I'm going to stick with going to Church 1's morning service or if I should start going to Church 2's morning service.
Man,
I was thinking about alternating between the two, but I was wondering if it would be wiser for me to stick with one or the other. If I should pick one and stick with that, how do I even decide? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Belen.
Man, glad you're here, Sam.
Yeah.
That's a... it's a good question.
I'll tell you what. I volunteered at my wife's grandfather's church for years and worked here. So I was involved in ministry here, going to services here, and still a part of that on, because it was like, oh, well, grandpa's church only has one service, so I'll help do worship there. And then here it's like, well, there's Wednesday night, there's Saturday night, there's like, you know, three services on Sunday, so I'll just go to different times. And it was a cool season, but there came a time where I had to make a decision because – as much as I was involved at both, it was kind of, honestly, it felt like almost a disservice because I couldn't fully give one or the other. And there would complications would arise at times like, well, what about Easter? What about this? And, you know, obviously here would win out.
Yeah.
And so we had to pray about it for a while. And I'm now like 100%, I'm leading worship at the Arnob Hill campus here at Calvary and like fully dedicated here. And it's, man, it's like a breath of fresh air just being able to do that, because you do need to take a time of rest as well. And it seems like if you're just, you're like, but I'm in ministry now and I want to just go, you're going to burn yourself out and hate church. So my opinion is you should, it seems like church two is where your heart is, because it said you love, and isn't this weird? This paper.
I'm like,
getting back to the letter, they said they're volunteering at church two. They enjoy helping out. That's where their grandparents go. They built some great friendships here. And it sounds like church A or church one was just like, well, this was my church.
Yeah.
And you grew and you did some things there, and that's awesome. But it sounds like you're really like God's put you at church two, and maybe you need to just go to church two.
I kind of feel like you're
cheating. That's my
on
personal.
Yeah.
Church one. You're
He's
for church
cheating
one?
On church one.
Okay.
You're a cheater.
Wow.
Sam?
Gosh. Thank you. Are we out of time yet?
No, we still got a 12 minutes.
Oh,
what do you
gosh.
Say?
It's
tough, right?
That's hard. My I didn't catch whether they were only attending church one, or were they actively?
Thank you for the good handwriting, by the way, because I was so nervous when I opened this up, and I was like, "Oh, good." Let's see. I've always called church one my main church. Been going there for a while. They love me and have helped me through hard times, and I've been able to share my love with them.
Okay.
A few months ago,
visited grandparents' church.
Fell in love with the second church. Church two has multiple services. Right. Blah 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 blah. But they're saying they got involved. They're volunteering at church
too. It sounds like they were more involved in church too. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those things. I don't promote church hopping. I don't think that's the right. Even if your church is experiencing some struggles, that's not the time to bail out. That's the time to maybe hunker down and as a body, as a family, work things out and try to figure out what God is trying to teach you guys. I was looking at 1 Corinthians 12, and there's you know, that's where Paul is talking about the different parts of the body, and the eye can't say to the, and I may be misquoting it because I'm having a hard time scrolling through my phone. I hate this little tiny screen.
You so old.
If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And, you know, this whole picture that Paul is painting for us. And there's one part here where Jesus says, Paul says that, and I can't find it. I'm looking for it. The body is arranged, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So I think there's something to seeking God's direction on which church this person should go to. Whether they're plugged in at in the second church and volunteering, if that's not really that, and that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the church, the body that God wants them to be a part of. I feel like the way that God gifts each one of us and puts his body together, that he has a place for us that he wants each one of us to serve. That's not an easy answer to discover. That's not easy to discern. But that's one of the first things that I would suggest is encourage this person to do is to actually spend some earnest time asking and seeking God's direction for, do I need to stay at this original church? Do I need to go to the second church? And God, you know, this transition from the original, what they called their main church, to the second church may be a way that God was using, he was utilizing that to spur them to be more involved than just merely attending and getting some encouragement and love from that first church. I do think also that there are seasons that we might be involved in one church and then a season happens and God leads us to another church. I can't prove that, but that's what I just think. What?
No,
what? Go ahead.
I'm struggling with this one because I like to take that hard, like, you got to dig into one. But thinking about it in real life, I have so many friends that help in multiple areas.
Yeah.
Because then I start thinking about youth and I start thinking about friends who maybe the church they go to doesn't have a college ministry. So they're involved in the college ministry with this other place because, you know, or whatever the reasoning is, and they're involved in multiple places. And I don't want to discourage somebody from being in ministry.
Right.
That's tough.
Yeah, I know. I know. Mm. But I still think that there's something to the being committed. Not the right word.
Well, that's what everyone on the line is saying.
A local body.
Yeah.
You've got to plug into one. And like I said, there's seasons where you can help out. Because even in the job that I have, I'm helping different churches a lot throughout the year.
Yeah.
But I'm a member. My membership and my tithe.
You
goes
so Baptist.
I really am.
You're so bad.
I really am. The word ownership might be better. My ownership is at Eastern New Mexico. Eastern New Mexico.
Eastern Hills.
Eastern Hills. Thank you. Eastern New Mexico is where my heart is because that's where I went to college.
Yes.
Anyway, Eastern Hills is my church. So when I'm home, that's the church I go to.
Yeah.
If I haven't been invited, because part of what I do is help churches out when they need somebody to fill the pulpit or whatever. And so I'm glad that's a part of my ministry right now in this season of my life.
So you're a cheater too.
So I'm not a cheater.
It's not being a cheater. Because I think about it.
Because in a way,
Eastern Hills
endorses that and they send me out. They like the fact that my family's involved there.
So was Paul a church hopper then? Because, man, he was in Corinth.
Paul was a church planter.
Yeah, oh, okay. So it's different for Paul.
Yes, yes. Apostles usually do get a little more
grace.
That's
true,
Somebody
chimed in and said, poop or get off the pot. Pick a church. As someone on staff at a church, it's incredibly frustrating to only have people show up for their church on their, quote, scheduled days of volunteering. Wherever you are, be all there. See, I'm struggling with this one. I don't know. Somebody else said they need to pick a church, though, Steve-O. Church works best when you do life with a specific group of people and you can't try and juggle two separate communities. I would go with the church that they're serving at. Because, okay, I have friends who have kiddos and they love being at church A, but there's no real youth ministry or their kids' ministry is dreadful or whatever it is. And so then they're like, man, but our kids are really involved here, so we want, but I just struggle with, you know, the main service, or I struggle with this aspect, or do you know what I mean? So, thinking about it, it's like, I have so many friends who technically go to multiple churches and would consider A or whatever their home church and then B.
So is this person who wrote us the letter, having a tough time getting in the game and volunteering at the church one?
Because Church 2, it sounds like...
Well, this was written by hand, and there's no more information. Mm. They're probably not going to resubmit a letter, because it'll take a week to get here.
If they were said that Church 1, that's they've always kind of gone to.
First church they went to has like, been there for a while. They love me. They've helped me through some hard times. I've been able to share my love with them.
I think one of the difficulties that we forget is that we... I have to be careful how I say this. The church doesn't exist for us. We exist as the body of Christ.
Well, we are the church.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is we sometimes are looking for something for us to be fed, and that's not the right motivation to find a body. We find the body that God has led us to get plugged into. Mm-hmm. And there may be some people that for that season they can be a little bit involved in multiple congregations, but eventually they need to land somewhere. Because if you think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 about the many parts, but the one body, mm-hmm. if you have a whole church of eyeballs, that's not going to work. And so God puts the church, to the local body, together as he wants. Now, right. that doesn't answer some of the complexity.
It doesn't.
But we have sometimes created the complexity. Just because of the way our world is and the way we like to do things or say, you know, or receive things. And so we have to be careful that we don't just join a church because it makes us feel good, but because we feel like God has led us to that local body and wants us to be an active part of that local body, whatever that may be.
What do you say to the young couple that have kids that are like, man, we are fed at this church. We love the leadership, the pastor, the everything, but there's no real youth or kids ministries, and our kids are drowning and dying in boredom. Like, do you all just pick up and go somewhere else for the sake of the kids, or do you go, sorry, kids?
Or they could be the ones to take the lead and start a better children's ministry at that church. Maybe that was God is using that as a catalyst to prompt in their heart
to be
the ones to step up and say, you know, I didn't really think about being a children's ministry leader when I came to this church, but I see a need and I feel like this is something that we can do. And with God's help, we're going to make this better than it is.
All right.
And again, that's, you know, those are just generalizations. You have to take those things on individual basis and at churches. And I would say, if that's the case, sit down with the pastor. Let's work out a plan. Let's figure out, let's pray through this. We try to fix things all the time and we forget often to invite the Lord to give us his input. You know what I'm saying? And when he wants to lead us, but we're not listening.
This sounds really deep. Do like I did in high school, man. If you have two girlfriends and they find out, you just choose the prettier one, obviously. Which church is prettier? Which one buys you things?
Which one
makes you feel better? That's how you choose everything in life.
Which one gives away game systems for perfect attendance?
Yeah.
What?
Which one has a big spinning wheel that if you bring the most guests, you get
seven candy bars? Oh, that's the best. Spinning wheel? Sign me up.
Dude,
I want to go to that
Here's a great comment question.
Okay.
What if at one of the churches you're at, it's your uncle and he's the pastor, but you go to another church also because you like it there? I'm going to tell you right now, because as I was talking in the beginning, we were at my wife's grandfather's church. Her whole family is there. I was part of the worship team, and my father-in-law is the guitar player. My uncle-in-law plays bass. It's like a family church. And for the longest time, it was like, I can't break up the family band. We can't. But God was like, dude, lead your family, bro. And I wasn't getting... quote, fed there. Like, I felt God tugging me. It was nothing against the church.
Right.
But for me personally, like, and it came to a point where I had to go, hey, we need to start really praying about this because I believe God is pulling us here. I believe that we need to uproot. And there were the fears of, like, our family's going to be so mad and everybody's going to, because, like, everybody, guess what? All of those stupid insecurities and fears did not come to fruition. The family wasn't like, you're abandoning the family. They're like, you got to do what God is calling you to do. That's a family.
If they have a kingdom vision, then they'll be able to you'll be able to dialogue with them about the decision. And, you know, if you really feel like God is leading you away from where you're currently going, then you have to be obedient to what he's calling you to do.
Yeah.
Amen, Sam. Amen.
Ooh.
Thank you for writing that letter. That was great.
Yeah. Whoever sent that in, that was cool.
Keep doing that. Send us
a nice crispy letter.
But what if you go to another church a lot because you love their jalapeno poppers and the honey biscuits? Oh, wait, that's church's chicken.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a different... Okay.
Get out of here. We're done with the show.
Thank you, Stormy. Remember this. Send that in.
It was a huge show today, so yep. hit the podcast. We've had some great shows this week. Morning Invasion. Go search for it at iTunes, Google Play. You can go to star88.fm. Go to our page, and you can get the podcast right there. Or through the brand new app that we got. Did you download that new app, Sam?
I did. Oh, well, it updated. I had the old app, and there it just go. It had an update. So I updated.
You're going to cut my podcast
I like the
off.
New color.
Beautiful. All right. Big show on Monday. We have Mr. Mike Tate.
Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
He'll be on the show Monday.
Just going to bug him about DC Talk.
Have a beautiful weekend. We'll see you.
That's all we got. There ain't no more. Time is tight. It's the end of the show.